I loved it. I saw it twice.
I was concerned about you because every so often when Ari's going to a movie, he'll text me whether he should get high or not before the movie. And I think that regardless of what I told you, you were planning on seeing Mad Max high. And I was like, dude, it's really intense.
That's a good one to see.
Did you see it high?
You have to.
I assume I did.
That's a good one to see high.
Like it's magic, cause I see nobody but you. I'm never confused. Hey, I'm so used to being used. So I love when you call unexpected.
Fuck. Hi everybody, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. This fucking crutch. You know, they talk about crutches in comedy, you know? Like do an act out. Or like always talking about your mom as a character. You know, one comedian who does that. They call it a crutch. You know? Because you can lean on it. It's like you can lean on it. You can always do well with this crutch. You know? Some people call it a crutch. If you're a dirty comic, it's a crutch. But I gotta be honest, last week and a half really, I've been on crutches, and it is not easy. It's a lot more work. I mean, a lot more work. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 255, I think. The 2016 Gay Super Bowl with Schmoes No, Christian Harloff, and Mark Ellis. Okay, so this year we decided not to do a preview episode of the Oscars, and instead we do a wrap-up. And why? Because Christian Harloff went to the Oscars this year. He did a red carpet interviews for Fandango. Those guys have made their whole fucking livelihood now off the movies. It's great. We all spend fucking $15 to go. And they're cashing in. So anyway, we met up again, like we always do. This time at their studio. They got a fucking studio, the Schmoes No. Check out their podcast, by the way, Schmoes No. And Kathleen McGee has a new podcast from last week's episode. It is called, I got to find it. Hopefully she texted me. Hot Mess with Kathleen McGee is a hot mess. That's what it's called. Fuck. Yeah, Kathleen McGee is a hot mess. And guess who is guest number one? That's right. Former Canadian Prime Minister Guy Lafleur. That's not really it. It's me, everybody. I'm the guest number one on Kathleen's podcast. So let's start the episode. We're going to talk about the Oscars and what they thought of it. If you don't know Christian Harloff and Mark Ellis, they're both Comedy Store comics. They do this every year. It's become a tradition. It's year number four. Always fun. It's supposed to be like informative, but it always ends up being fun and a good time. If you guys don't know, my storyteller show, This Is Not Happening, is tonight. 12:30 a.m. Tuesday night on Comedy Central. If you're Canadian, you can only watch it on YouTube, and you'll have to get the BetterNet app. It's BetterNet. It works. It works for phones. It works for computers, for Safari and Firefox on computers, and for like iOS and whatever else. BetterNet. Just install it. There's nothing to like sign up for, from what I understand. And then you can watch all those YouTube videos that are blocked in your country for Canada and Australia. Do it. Thank me later. Tag BetterNet, I guess, app or whatever they are. This weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm in Indianapolis. Indianapolis is Thursday, Friday, Saturday at my favorite Indianapolis club, Crackers, Broad Ripple. With Mike Fenoya, I'm going to be there. And then Sunday, by myself, at Columbus, Funny Bone. Go to tickets. For tickets, go to arithegreat.com. And find everything. And this is not happening tonight in the Belly Room. Friendship Stories. some good people. I forget who. But it's $5 and it's 8 o'clock in the Belly Room. You don't have to be a fucking crazy person not to show up. My story this week is good. It's about Jason Tebow. All right, you guys. Let's start, right? Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 255. The 2016 Gay Super Bowl. The Oscars. With Schmoes No, Christian Harloff, and Mark Ellis. Let's begin. Oh, it did just start.
Nice.
First of all, before I even start, your studio is amazing.
Thanks, Art.
You guys have made a whole life out of this.
Yeah, especially when you've seen it since the beginning.
Yeah.
Like when it was just a rotten room in the middle of some crappy...
Yeah, when you were still dating your wife.
That's true, yeah.
It wasn't really a life then. It was that we were creating an existence of sorts, but...
We didn't know what the hell we were doing. We had no idea.
No direction. And then, luckily, we found Ari's podcast.
Yeah.
And then we had something to come back and kind of earmark our...
Yeah, we knew that in order... We had to keep it going, because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do the show every year.
And actually, I'm disappointed because I think this is the fourth year that we've been doing like an Oscars show with
Ari. I know, it is disappointing.
But this is the first year, and I hate to say it's the first year that... Pauly Shore is not going to be in.
I know.
Yeah, what if he's over there in a building just like sniping
never
at us?
Never say
like,
never, man.
Had to get Ari out to Burbank to ensure that Pauly would not be interrupted.
I can't believe he interrupted. Like, we talked every about year. It, and then he would still interrupt. Like, what? He's not even here yet.
I think I brought it up last year, and 5 minutes after I brought it up, that's when he pulls up.
Well, that was the best part. Yeah. I was like, there's no way he can show up this time. And he shows up. The first time was with Faison.
Faison Love, The best is Faison's Love. He's like, oh, they're clearly doing something, man.
Yeah. Let's get
these are
here.
Human beings, and they're clearly doing something. And Paul's like, no, man, they're not humans. They're not celebrities. So they're not humans. Right, Faison? Right? Faison's like, I don't know what you're saying,
before,
bro.
Right before we went live about like the Schmodown, one of the new shows we have. The movie,
Schmodown,
the
I love it.
Trivia contest. And I like just for a fun, like random kind of theme matchup, I could go against anybody in Pauly Shore movie trivia.
Pauly movies.
Oh, wow.
Why don't you go against Pauly?
That would be great.
I will bring that up to Mr.
Dude,
Shore.
Dude, please bring up a Pauly Shore versus Ellis in Pauly Shore movie trivia contest.
I mean, so we do
Encino
Man?
That would be amazing.
But you know, because this is funny. One time I told him, I was like, hey, dude, you know what's great about Encino Man is that the soundtrack had like a solo Vince Neil hit on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, Def Leppard, Let's Get Rocking. He's like, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like, I would murder that.
I don't
guy.
Know, but you've got to go. Trivia. You can't just go the good ones.
Yeah.
You got to go.
Yeah.
All
like, but he'd also be like, that's not trivia. Talk about who I fucked on the set, bro.
That's real trivia.
Yeah. It should all be legal.
Right.
They should ask
or
a question
illegal.
Like that. Who did Pauly choose to want to fuck and then ended up fucking that other dude who had all the brothers? Was the dude he was in, what is it, with the dude he was in Encino Man with?
Sean
no, not Encino Man, not Encino Man. Oh. Biodome.
Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
Was he in that Young Guns show? Remember that Young
show?
Guns
he
TV
was in
show?
Usual Suspects.
I don't remember a Young Guns spinoff TV show.
No, there was a Young Gun, and it was all these fucking, it was Buffalo Bill Cody and Wild Bill Hickok, and it was a bunch of just
TV
fucking,
show,
you don't remember
huh?
that? About like three
TVS?
Or 4 years. No. This is 25 years ago.
Oh, I don't know.
Was it before the Young Guns films, or was it based on the same thing, or it was like a Western?
I don't know. It also might not have been called Young Guns.
I don't think it was.
But I think it was.
If there was a Young
Guns, there was a bald guy who was like mute. Do you remember this at all?
No.
He was bald.
You're making this up.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm not making it up. And they gave him blankets to like cover himself when he's got sick once, and they're like, no, it's got like that blanket disease that they
all
gave
right,
the Indians.
You're killing me. Hold on.
The blanket gave him smallpox.
The blanket disease they gave him Indians. Yeah,
what is it?
Smallpox.
Now I have to see what the hell this mysterious
show
is.
Yeah, look it up.
I was a big Young Guns fan as a youth. Young Guns 1, Young Guns 2 with Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
And each one of those movies had like the 5 or 6 like hotshot male stars at the time.
Yeah.
So you had like Charlie Sheen in the first one. You had Christian Slater in the second one. Kiefer Sutherland making the rounds in both movies. So a spinoff TV show of that premise.
You would have known about it.
I would have been aware.
Well, maybe all the pot I smoked made you forget.
No, maybe it made you make something up.
Yeah, that's very possible.
Let's see.
Okay, so do you see Young Guns? On IMDb now.
I'm looking.
And he's looking it up. This is how you start an Oscar show,
He has a very extensive library, Stephen Baldwin.
No, but look up Young Guns TV show.
Yeah. There's no Young Guns TV show. I'm looking for something else.
like Western TV show, late 80s.
The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
No, but that was great.
Bruce Campbell.
That was great.
Because there's not a lot of Old West shows. Like,
Posse.
Nope.
No, but that's
Posse
that was
with
a
Mario
movie.
Van Peebles.
Mario Van Peebles.
Like there you go. It's called The Young Riders.
Young Riders!
Not Young Guns. The Young Riders.
Do you remember it all now?
No.
The Young Riders. Who was in it? Was one of the brothers?
It is. Listen, it is a cast. It is definitely Stephen Baldwin. You're correct.
Yeah!
But you know who else is in this movie?
Who?
I mean, this TV show?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty
crazy. Fresh off the Goonies.
Yeah. And the dad in that was like the dad from something else. It wasn't like the Dukes of Hazzard dad, but it was he's been in some stuff.
Melissa Leo was in that show. Who's that? What? Melissa Leo
is Brett Cullen is a great actor. When he comes on screen, he's one of those guys where it's like, you know, you've seen him in 100 things. He is in The Dark Knight Rises. He's the guy who was stuck with the worst line of that movie when Anne Hathaway's character is running out on him.
Yeah.
And he's like, call me at the beginning of the movie.
Right,
that's
right,
Brett
right,
Cullen.
Right.
He's a great
actor.
That's
not the role you want to bring up, though, because that was not a great scene.
Anyone who's now still using that call me thing is the hackiest fucking writer. It's down to now pretty much only commercials now.
I don't disagree with you, man. I hate that. I like that movie. We were just talking about that at lunch. I hated that moment because of that. That joke was so stupid and out of place for that scene.
I always
it's
get
like
movie.
It's like you heard something and you want to use it. You're the writer, but it's like it doesn't go here.
Especially if you're like a Christopher Jonathan Nolan writing that thing. I'm the guy. I'm the fan that will still if I'm in the theater and I'm seeing a movie I really am looking forward to, like a Batman movie.
Yeah.
I will give a movie one pass where I'm like I can get over that.
Right, one
like
pass. Yeah.
Like Indiana Jones surviving the fridge bomb in Indiana Jones 4, beginning of the movie. I'm like, okay, I'll get over that. But then, that in the back of my mind, I'm like, this movie might not be The Dark Knight. And my God, it was not.
No,
I see,
you're too hard in that movie.
Which movie?
The Dark Knight Rises.
Is that the one where he spent 30 minutes in a hole?
Yeah.
Yes.
With Bane
man.
In it.
The whole movie.
Yeah.
I like the whole movie.
It was like, obviously you're getting out. And then also like... The problem is when it's like one thing, like America's
Batman
Sniper,
movie.
You can like look over one thing, but like, so hold on. So a little kid can jump further with no rope than fucking Batman can jump with a rope attached to him.
A lot of training.
Yeah,
and Batman finally
reach.
Oh, come on.
Rich. Yeah, he
movie.
Got out when he finally took the rope off.
See,
he can still jump further than a fucking 12-year-old.
This is why I'm glad I got out of stand-up comedy, because you guys are
too
so
cynical?
Rotten.
We're not look, here's the thing. That
can't
movie,
spell right without rotten. No, wait.
No,
wait.
No, you actually can. You got maybe two of the left. It's just that movie's just – it's. I don't want to go off on that rabbit hole because it's –
There were cool moments, but at the same time, it's like...
The fight scenes were fake, and...
They looked too fake for you? I don't remember that.
You just can't help yourself.
They look so choreographed. When Batman is fighting Bane, this fight I've been looking forward to. They did the actual backbreaking thing.
Yeah.
That looked pretty cool. But the fight scene leading up to it looked like two stuntmen prepared for punches. And Nolan is a guy, he very quietly, I just don't think he does fight execution all that well. And the end of that movie was so ridiculously stupid.
The bomb?
The drop, it turned into an Adam West Batman movie.
Yeah, the bomb, and he's just waiting. He's like, and I will soon push the button.
Yeah, Marion Cotillard's death,
I'm fucking leaving.
All of a sudden, 1,000 cops just get released out of the fucking tomb they're in. It's like, now we can fight back. And it's just like...
But it's a Batman movie. The problem is that The Dark Knight was such
so
a
good.
Great film, and the expectations were so high.
But Batman Begins was a great movie, too.
It was. Like, I think that if The Dark Knight Rises was the first movie, people still would have loved it.
I would have liked it more than
comparison.
I do. But again, part of that thing is the standard.
It
and
is.
Like,
absolutely.
People ask us a lot. They're like, do you ever go back and see an old review you did and say, man, I can't believe I scored a movie like that? And the answer is yes, it happens. Like, I don't
oh, really? You scored
it
too high?
Yeah. I think that I scored that movie too high. I think I gave it 4 out of 5 schmoes, and I got so much hate. Because I didn't give it 5 out of 5.
How could you give it 5 out of 5?
Because nobody had seen the movie yet except for us. Because we got
the review.
Oh,
so like, how dare you based on...
That happens all the time. He's gotten murdered twice.
Yeah.
That one and Man of Steel, he got his ass
It's the best, but when you get murdered when they haven't seen it yet, you're like, you're not... You're just talking out of like the love for the series. So
that's
it's like,
happen.
Fuck you. It doesn't matter what you're saying.
And that's going to happen for Batman v Superman, which is coming up. Guarantee it.
That doesn't look that good.
If it's not great, and if we score it anything lower than a 4...
Right.
They're going to go bananas.
The Lex Luthor looks annoying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just off previews.
Yeah.
I am very excited for the movie based on the previews.
I was excited for the movie based on the storyline and the comic book that I never read, that I heard about.
There's a trailer that I think you need to see. Yeah. And I think it was the most recent one, but it was like the theatrical trailer. Yeah. And it's basically all Batman.
Yeah.
He busts into some warehouse. He beats the crap out of 20 villains. It looked
I saw that.
Trailer was
he just
great.
Jumps down. They're waiting at the elevator.
Yeah.
And then he comes in from under the roof.
Yeah, that stuff was cool.
That looks cool. The storyline. And then when they introduce the supermodel at the very end, it's the supermodel. And then at the very end. By the way, I did my first movie.
You did?
Yeah.
What was it?
Congratulations.
Keeping Up with the Joneses.
Tell me about it.
Coming out in April.
Yeah.
I've never told anybody.
No.
I might get cut out. That's why I haven't told anybody. I'm just telling you guys because you're such
movie
guys.
Who is the stars? Who are the Joneses?
Galifianakis.
Okay.
And John Hamm.
Right.
Oh, great.
Who
directs it?
The guy who did Superbad. Fuck, why can't I remember his name?
No, Evan Goldberg.
I mean, he hired you.
What?
Evan Goldberg didn't direct it.
No, not Evan Goldberg.
Yeah.
He hired you to do a role, Ari.
Yeah.
And you don't know the director's
name.
He
did Superbad. Wasn't Evan Goldberg directed Superbad?
He wrote it.
Oh, yeah.
Was he in Young Riders?
He's also bald. He was a super cool guy. No, he wasn't in Young Riders, but he's bald like the guy from Young Riders.
Well, how was the experience?
So fun.
And why do you think you're going to get cut out?
My scene, I've heard too many stories of that, and my scene wasn't like plot necessary.
Are you like
was it funny?
It was. Yeah, it's funny.
Are you like Brody Stevens in The Hangover, where it's a memorable scene?
You could easily cut it out.
Yeah,
and you don't need that Brody Stevens.
Cut Brody scene out.
You could easily cut that out.
Greg Mottola.
Yeah, cool
That's
guy.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it was exciting. But anyway, when the part came in and they showed like who was in it, and it was like John Hamm is playing this guy who's like a spy living in a normal residential neighborhood, and like his wife is like super hot. People are like, who's playing it? I'm like, some supermodel they haven't hired yet. Fucking Wonder Woman.
Oh, it's a Gal Gadot, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
and man, so she, I tried like, you know, I lived in Israel too, so we have. And she was like, you're out of my league, man. It's just not. It ain't gonna happen.
She was in the Israeli army, because I guess you have to be.
You have to be.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's crazy. So, wait, so what was the scene? Can you say what the scene was?
Yeah, it was just me and this guy Michael Liu, and we just like we're IT guys, and we're just constantly fighting over some Indian lady, over her honor.
This sounds essential.
Yeah,
it needs to be in the movie.
I tackled him over a chair too. It was pretty fun. It needs to be in the movie.
Now, let me ask you this though, because there's things I liked about The Dark Knight Rises. So, like, if we're reviewing Keeping Up with the Joneses,
review away, man.
Yeah. And we're like, hey, look, Ari's scenes were great. We want to get that out there.
You've done other movies though.
No,
you've never done feature films.
No, I mean that's a feature sketch crazy comedy movie that was just me doing like scenes on my own.
Oh, okay.
Of the Amazing Racist stuff. Like, you use that for your sketch movie.
Okay.
Is that the one with, like, Bobby Lee on the toilet?
No, that was the previous version of that had Bobby Lee in it.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
I thought you had came out with a movie. I thought there was a movie that
It was with the lowest rated movie of all time. Yeah. 0 stars on Rotten Tomatoes. inappropriate comedy. Directed by Vince from Shamwell. Yeah. I'm not counting that.
Okay.
This is a whole different experience. They put you up in nice places.
It's a real movie.
Yeah, we hung out in Atlanta for a week.
You show up to set.
They treat you like a fucking star.
Right.
You get to talk to Gal Gadot.
Yeah. And Hamm. Galifianakis was totally cool. John Hamm.
His brother was there. They didn't even give me John.
What Billy I've Hamm. Always like wanted to know from the horse's mouth, I want to hear this, because you were on set, and it wasn't a situation where you're an extra, and they kind of herd you away from everybody.
Right, no.
So you're on set. You get the good craft services table. Right?
Good craft food, which I got.
Who eats what? What does Galifianakis eat?
Yeah.
What does John Hamm eat? What does Gal Gadot eat, if anything?
Yeah, I assume nothing. I think she gets only a cap full of water is what she allows herself.
She had to beef up, though, for Wonder Woman, because she was so skinny. Like,
really?
She gained a lot of muscle,
It was cool seeing her, like, when she was changing in and out of scenes or whatever. It might be cold, and she was like, she had to, like, put a robe on it. With her and a robe, it was just like, oh, because you can't, it just seems like nothing's underneath, even though there is. And you're just like, oh. And Isla Fisher was in it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just interviewed her yesterday for the Oscars. Actually.
No way.
Yeah.
I used to have a crush on her.
Yeah, she's your type, apparently.
She's an, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had one good moment with her where we were talking about childbearing. She had her kid with her, and she was like, you know, said something about, I forget the exact, doesn't matter what it is, but it was something like breastfeeding either helps or hurts children. And then she was like, my husband went the other way. Whatever she's doing, her husband had the other way when he was a kid. So if she breastfed, her husband didn't. She goes, you know, he turned out okay. I was like, isn't he fucking crazy? And she goes, you know what? Good point. He is. You're absolutely right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when is the movie comes out in April?
I don't know. My mom said April. She's the one looking.
I think April, she looks way harder than me. April 11th.
Really?
Oh, that's great. Okay. So we got to look forward to that now, too.
Now it's
you should review it the way, you know, remember an ESPN SportsCenter sometimes they review like only show like one highlight, one guy's highlight, mm-hmm. and they show like all five of his baskets and they go finish with 10 points. You know? And it's like, do that. Make a whole
Ari Shaffir was amazing. Look, Ari, he did so much in this film.
That's not a bad, what he just came up with, if we could find out a way, because Ari and I have been trying to come up with a scoring system for stand up for years. We tried to do it one time at the store.
Scoring system.
Didn't work out at all. Like how many big laughs, how many pause breaks. Yeah. Uh-huh. If you and I could figure out a way to where at the end of every review, we put up like the stats. Like, you know, like Batman v Superman, it's like Henry Cavill had this many something and this many.
Trailblazers had the hustle board for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like good hard screens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. It'd be like if we could somehow quantify what happens in movies in a sports statistical format. Sometimes our fans yell at us even if we make a sports reference.
Sometimes.
Though, so I don't know if it'll work or not.
Well, they'll be like, what do you mean? That action scene was good. You're like, yes, that one was. The one before that looks super fake.
Yeah.
Like all Spider-Man movies look like cartoons fighting each other. And then back to
talking about movies that haven't aged the best today on Movie Talk. And one of the ones I brought up was the Raimi Spider-Man movies, because I still think the storylines are great, but you watch it and it does look like a cartoon.
Him fighting Goblin.
Effects have progressed so
especially
much.
Though when you see that shit on TV now. Like if you saw Jurassic Park on TV now, you're like, why do they look so bad?
It's funny though. Jurassic Park
it looks amazing.
One of those movies that's still like, you know, you take into consideration the movie came out in 93. Yeah.
Oh, that music is timeless.
Yeah, the music's still timeless.
Who's that? Williams?
John Williams, yeah. So you watch that movie, though, and it's still, the dinosaurs still look pretty great.
Great movie, yeah. The T-Rex looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
Because that was a practical thing. And then some of it was CGI, and that CGI still looks pretty good. Just the scene with all those, like, Dilapa whatever sources running in the field.
Oh, yeah. That's when he first gets out of his car, he's like, oh, look, cool, you got the good fauna. And people are like, no, look behind you. He's like, what? What, that's for us?
I still get chills. I love
that. Yeah, that was pretty great. I saw that in a 75 cent theater.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, we killed it. We would take popcorn, free refills. So if you're smart, I might have told you this before, take a shopping bag with you, and you just dump that motherfucker, and then go back out, get your own full popcorn.
You just get them on the technicality.
Yeah, we're not going to go in the middle of the movie.
Let me ask you something. Is that theater still in business?
No.
Because you ate them out
of I don't know. Aspen Hill Movie Theater, it might be.
Someone needs to find that out.
They were doing second runs, so maybe.
Last year, because I think I saw you, but we didn't talk about it on your show. You did that screening for American Sniper.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
It went great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so happy with it.
I do. And luckily, I was out of town. I was on the road somewhere, but I was like kind of looking at Twitter because I was nervous. Because you knew like I wasn't 100% in on this thing going down. Because there were people that wanted to just feel like a good American and go pay the money to go see that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So what you did, and it was birthed on the podcast we did, was that we were talking about American Sniper, and Ari decided that he was going to tweet out the showing at Arclight Theater that he was going to go see American Sniper and heckle the movie.
Sabotage showing.
And anybody else who wanted to go be in on the sabotage, any other potential saboteurs out there, could see Ari tweet it, and then they would show up to the movie, sit in random different spots all around the theater, and just heckle the shit out of this poor movie.
And so did it happen like that?
We had about 40% of the theater.
Wow.
You could tell.
Wow. Yeah. How many people total in the theater?
Probably like, I don't know. I'm trying to remember because it's about a year ago now.
Yeah.
The movie had been out for a few.
It had been out for a while. Yeah. So it was like in my head, I'm like, I'm not ruining the first run of this for anybody. And honestly, for the other people who wanted to see it, I'm like, it ain't a good movie anyway. So probably about 80 people in there. We probably had like 30 or 40.
So what was the situation like? Were you looking around before
I was nervous.
Started?
I was nervous.
And because Arclight is one of those rare theaters where they have a guy go up and do his presentation like, hey, welcome to American Sniper. Did that guy get heckled?
Nope. So nothing happened. We waited till there was a moment. And I forgot. Took about 10-12 minutes until you got a really lame scene.
Right. So
right
you
away,
just heckling to heckle. It was when the moments were ridiculous.
Right away in
they
the
were
beginning.
Going to heckle.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yeah. But I remember there were ridiculous moments. It wasn't like I went in going, let me see
you
what it's like. I'd already seen the
you
movie.
Had a purpose.
Yeah. So right away, the very first scene that fucks up is when he's talking to his brother. They come from a rodeo, which is why is this in the movie? Then he finds his wife and he like kicks her. It's just so lame and awfully acted.
Who was the first person to scream? You?
Yeah, me. Yeah. And then you get somebody else coming from on the side. Once you get somebody else going, fake baby, fake baby. Everyone is in on it at that point.
I'm looking at this like a Revolutionary War battle where General Shafir is like on the white horse and nobody else is going to attack until you lead the charge in a battle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
So
freedom!
Your opening salvo, you face painted blue.
Yeah, did any of the Arclight people come in and see?
Nope. No, I was worried about it. I was fully accepting, like, we will get kicked out. I was like, don't fight it.
No,
if they
cares.
Kick you out, just leave. I'm like, this is not about violence. We're trying to like do it. This is just trying to have some fun.
Yeah.
And Hinchcliffe was with me. He hadn't seen the movie before, Tony Hinchcliffe. And he was like, no way. Is this really like the movie? Like he was like, I mean, I heard it was like nominated for Oscars. I'm like, yeah, man, they don't really know what they're doing in there. Yeah. but we started off. It was just like, I remember the first when he's trying to like, should I kill that kid or not? And the guy's telling him like, if you're wrong about this, I'll fry you. I'm like, how about help him? How about use your binoculars? And then people start like chuckling in the audience and I couldn't tell who's with me and who's not. I mean, it was really spread out. It was, man, that was a fun day.
Were there any patrons that were clearly not on board with your game sitting near you?
Is there another movie you can do that for now? Because now I want to know how the second one goes.
I mean, if Green Lantern, they had another showing of that. I haven't seen that unfinished a movie since Green Lantern.
So bad.
Yeah. So,
The Fantastic Four you should have done.
Or the new OJ, but that's not a movie. Fantastic Four, is that bad?
Oh, Fantastic. Fantastic Four, they stopped filming. They reshot the entire, it was a disaster.
Well, you're watching it, you're like, this looks like an outline of a movie.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, so something based like basically this, you get it, now we'll actually shoot the movie.
Yeah, that's Fantastic
It looks like
Four.
A kid made that movie as a pitch on YouTube. Like,
really?
Here's something here's something that I think we could do if we had the right team in place. Yeah.
With Michael
here's
B. Jackson?
What it would look like.
Michael B.
And Jordan. That's when I'm trying to like, let's go young and hot.
Yeah.
Right.
Michael B. Jordan and Miles Teller, they weren't the problem. It was, and even the director, Josh Trank, who really got the brunt of it, he got bullied by the studio.
Oh,
like,
really?
Bad. Yeah.
Right. And then the studio goes, see, we trusted him and see what he put up. You're
exactly
like, no,
right.
It's not C. You fucked with him.
Yeah.
And so then whatever he had left, you're accusing that as the reason they failed.
That's exactly right.
These people always do that.
Yeah.
Anytime you fuck with an artist, it's like you're going to use it. You're going to use what they have left as the reason it
failed.
He was
the guy that directed Chronicle.
Oh, really?
Did you see Chronicle?
No, was that with the guy with the white eyes?
No, Chronicle was I'm not a big found footage guy, but the one movie that I did like was a found footage movie about like the superheroes.
Uh-huh.
And like it was Michael B. Jordan, and Dane DeHaan, and a few other people. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay,
movie,
I got actually. A movie.
Yeah.
I got a movie that you could go to. Now, but I mean, American Sniper was like an Oscar nominated film.
And everyone's talking about the best movie ever.
It's Gods of Egypt.
Gods of Egypt.
That just looks like a shitty movie.
Is a horrible movie.
I wonder if, do you think I could, you guys must know the Arclight people. Do you think I could go to them and say, hey, I would like to have a Sabotage screening. So can we get like a 2 p.m. on a Thursday?
The problem is that it's their deals with the studio.
Oh, they put that in jeopardy. By saying we're going to mock this openly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I think they would feel pressure to warn the audience. Now,
of course you should warn. But if you should warn the audience. If we were having a full Sabotage warn them.
What you need to do is grease one of the guys outside. That's what you need to do.
That's
like,
it,
hey,
you're right.
You just
40, 50 bucks.
You find a guy outside, you go, hey, look, I'm bringing in a bunch of my people to like Sabotage. Here's whatever, 50 bucks. Just don't let anybody in there. Get out.
Part of the genius of a Sabotage screening is to have half the crowd.
Not know.
But what you can do is, it's like a hidden camera thing where like, afterwards, if they're walking out pissed off that people are heckling the movie, Arclight gives them a free ticket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, but Gods of Egypt would be one. If you wanted to do an Oscar-nominated movie, I think The Revenant is a great film. I loved it, but it there's a lot of quiet moments to where you could get a lot of jokes in.
It would have to, but it has to be a movie that I'm like, this is
pissed them off.
In my mind, this is terrible.
Yeah,
that's
not
Gods
just
Egypt.
Like there's moments I could get away with it. But
Gods
like,
of Egypt,
yeah, Gods of Egypt.
Yeah. Would be yours.
But no one's talking about Gods of Egypt as if it's going to be a great movie.
No.
Right.
So it'd be like...
Yeah. The movies that are out right now, I mean, we're going to get into it anyway, but
I'll wait a few years until I can do it again.
Yeah,
right
I don't
moment,
know if there's one right out there.
Well, also, I mean, because that was an Oscar-nominated movie, the Oscar-nominated films this year that are still playing in theaters would be... I mean, a lot of them are already out of theaters.
They're back
Revenant
in now, though, right?
Still in there.
Revenant's still in.
And that's really the only one that I can think of that is still playing.
You think you can turn the air conditioning like to like 75 degrees colder than it is right now? Because it's already pretty fucking cold.
Are you cold?
Yeah.
It was hot.
I'll go turn it down. I don't know why the anger though. Like it's the first time you brought up that you might be freezing and
what's it set at now?
Well,
fucking
it was
7.
It was really hot in here.
It was really hot in here. The problem when you reset a thermostat is it's like it's too cold. You're like crank it.
Yeah.
Like, no, just turn it up a couple
this thing
degrees.
Fucking kicks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Hoth.
Well, let's talk about the Oscars as long as you're here.
Let's do it.
So this is the first year we didn't do an Oscars preview. So somebody, a couple people were like, what the fuck, man? I mean, I don't know what to look for. And it's like, the only reason we're doing it later, well, one, because we're all busy. And two, because you went to the Oscars.
Yeah, I did. I covered the red carpet.
First time?
First time.
Have you ever been?
No.
No, I covered for Fandango they sent me. And it was
Man of the Street, like in the red carpet, same shit.
It was
shit.
The red carpet line. You know, like we were able to like actually
Tuxedo
the whole night. Like, and we were walking, like they let us like walk.
That's
the
amazing. Thing.
Yeah, well, it was awesome. It was surreal, you know, like to be able to do that. Got to talk to some like I told you. Isla Fisher.
You talked to Isla Fisher?
Yeah, Sacha Baron Cohen. Henry Cavill.
If only you'd known that your buddy Ari and her were such close friends.
She would, no way she'd remember me.
Remember?
Hey, you would have had to make her fake it.
Like, I was the one who called your husband crazy. She knew everyone.
Remember the guy that talked to you about breastfeeding?
Right.
Made it really uncomfortable for you on set.
Did she get a breast reduction? I think she did.
Isla Fisher?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You would know better than I would.
After seeing yesterday, I would say yes.
These are the kind of questions that we need you to be asking.
Yeah, why didn't you ask that on the red carpet?
I did, and then I got
probably bad taste.
Yeah.
probably the main reason.
Yeah. J.K. Simmons was the best.
Really?
You had to talk to him for a little bit.
Hey, when you broke that guy's legs and arms in awe so you could rape the shit out of him.
Shit on his face.
Did you get a real boner?
Yeah.
I've never seen that show. That sounds brutal.
He's terrifying in that.
He's terrifying. He was really good in it. The show itself was one of those things where it's like, why have I heard of this? This is a terrible show.
Oh, really?
The first writing is awful. The acting is terrible.
Mm. No, the first three seasons were good.
They put a professional bouncer in a lead role.
Chuck Zito, yeah. the first three seasons were good.
Yeah. I watched the whole thing, and I watched it all the way through. I get it, why it's nothing was done like that before, but like...
That's when HBO was like, let's just try everything.
Some chances.
Yeah, they took everything. I mean, there's a show about fucking prison. Like the whole, it's a crazy show. And he was terrifying. What was this? Schillinger?
Schillinger. Yeah.
Schillinger. That was his name. Yeah. And he was, but anyway, he was really good.
White supremacist. Yeah. So how was he on the red carpet?
He was really funny, dry. We were asking him, like, because the questions were supposed to be more like fun. And we're like, do you look forward to coming to this? He's like, no.
Really?
Yeah. He's having fun with it though too.
He's already. It seems like he's in a great place where he's like, I belong now.
Yeah.
I've won an Oscar. Did he win one?
Yeah. He won for Whiplash. Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm not gonna be pushed out. So I'm just gonna have some fun.
No, do whatever I want.
I'm not really promoting anything major.
No, he was presenting last night because when you win, you know, you present for
the next year.
Yeah, he presented for Best Supporting Actress.
Uh huh.
But yeah, so he was good. Henry Cavill, Superman. We talked to him for a little bit, which was cool.
Hell yeah. Did you look at any of the gift bags?
No, those things are like. What was the pricing?
Do they even have them out?
No,
they have them at the seats, probably.
Listen,
right?
These things, from what I was hearing. Some insane amount of money, how much each one of them.
Somebody pointed this out yesterday. It might have been Attell, or might have been Hinchcliffe, or it might have been somebody else, or it might have been Simone. But they're like, all these people like, the white Oscars, it sucks. Like, not one of those people like, I'm leaving my gift bag here. give it to some homeless people. Like, no, it's wrong with the racism, but give me the fucking, I want that iPod.
Right.
Here's the thing.
That's why no one boycotted.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say that I'm disappointing. I'm disappointed, but I'm going for the
gift. I'm getting my goddamn bag. Yeah.
It's like $80,000 or something.
Of loot in that. What was in them? That you heard.
Ridiculous, like watches and all this kind of crazy shit. Like I think it was estimated like $60,000 or $70,000.
But the thing is, if I get that gift bag, I have to pay taxes on that.
You would?
Did you know that? Yeah, you get taxed on the gift bag.
Not if you steal one. They're all sitting in the same spot.
No, Ari, you found the loophole in the government. Yeah. If you steal it, you don't have to pay taxes.
You don't pay. That's why they killed that guy, Garrett Garner. You're not paying taxes on your loose cigarettes. Eric Garner, the one who got choked to death outside. I can't breathe. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
This isn't coming to movies much yet.
He had stolen cigarettes?
No, he was selling one at a time for a dollar.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And they're like, the government doesn't get their money, so we're going to choke you to death. That wasn't the official quote. But
you can give a gift bag to like a celebrity, and they're going to be able to pay taxes. But if you gave it to me, I'd be nervous.
You're fucked.
Like, I mean, I guess you could just sell the watch.
Yeah, what if you went for like nominated for best short? You're like, I can't afford these taxes.
Did you hear Louis C.K.'s joke last night?
No.
Oh,
he presented?
Yeah, he presented for best
the
short.
Best documentary oh, best short documentary. Right. Subject. Yeah. And so these are documentaries that are like short films. They're like 10 minutes long.
This joke was so good.
And I don't know if you know this. A buddy of ours, John Halecki, is producing one that comes out next year. Do you know that? Yeah. It sounds great, by the way. So
the guy from... Not the guy from... you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, but...
Show me the money. Show me the money.
John from Jerry Maguire?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Jonathan Lipnicki. You know what's hysterical is if you're listening, so you can't see how Ari got me to know what he's talking about. But Ari's basically the guy from Show Me the Money, and I didn't know what he said. And then Ari basically did like a height, like he's yay tall.
Yeah,
and
you can only get on this ride if you're this tall. Yeah.
But yeah. So Louis was basically talking about how it's like everybody talks about wanting to win, like they're rooting for Leo or whoever to win Best Actor. But he's like the truth of it is. Anybody here winning an Oscar, it's not going to change your life unless you're one of these people. Because let's face it, if you make a best documentary short subject, you're just in it because you love it.
Right.
There's no money to be made. He's like, this is the only Oscar that's going to be riding home in a Honda Civic. And it was crushing, too.
It was.
He did such a great job. But it's also true. It's the same thing with, like, if you win a car on The Price is Right, it's great in the moment. But then you, that poor redneck, has to pay taxes on that Hyundai Elantra they just won.
Right.
So
why don't they just be like, we'll get you a lesser car and pay the taxes ourselves? Instead of getting your Lamborghini, we'll get you an Elantra, and then we'll pay the extra 10 grand.
The Price is Right isn't going to deal with your taxes.
They also get all that shit for free. My couch.
You don't like it? Sell it.
Yeah, just get it out of Drew Carey's garage. Yeah.
I had a Lazy Boy that my brother-in-law had a company where they had back, good for your back stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so he donated one to Price is Right. The deal is you just give it, and then if you want to have someone pick it up, they can pick it up. And so you bid on it, say how much it costs, and then I went down there with Sean Halpin's pickup truck, and we picked it up.
No shit, really?
Yeah. So the couch I had for years was on Price is Right.
Oh, that's a great story. Yeah, mm-hmm. That'll get you laid.
That would not get me laid.
No, nah, go ahead and try this couch.
What do you think of women?
By old lady in Florida.
Ooh.
She's, on the first date, she's wearing her "I Love Bob" shirt.
Yeah.
Jane on her chest. This is in the big yellow letters.
Your dick is stuck in my fixer dent.
Did you know Rod Roddy?
I got the feeling this year that it was going to be time for the guy from Growing Pains. It was going to be his moment. Yeah. It seemed like all that he can't win. To me, it seemed like everyone was saying it so much that it's like, oh, obviously he will win.
It flipped it. It flipped on its head because it was, when it was first announced, that when people were thinking, we'll see as far as nominations go. Eddie Redmayne, who won last year, was kind of one of the front runners, and Michael Fassbender, who played Steve Jobs.
But they've all both won, right?
I don't think Fassbender's won.
Fassbender's never won.
No.
For 12 Years a Slave, he didn't win anything?
No.
No.
And he was good.
He
lost to the Whiplash guy.
Yeah. And he was nominated in Shame also. No, he wasn't up against... he did lose against Whiplash. It was supporting actor. But as far as Shame goes, I think he was nominated also. Didn't win for that.
Maybe.
But anyway, so those two guys, and because I remember when the first nominations, I thought one of those guys were going to win. But then you look at stats. Leo just kept winning the Golden Globe, I think SAG, and he just kept winning. And I'm like, you know what? Everyone's talking about it. It's going to be one of those things. And sure, shit, he won.
So. Yeah, I think it was well-deserved for DiCaprio. I think that hit that performance that he gave in The Revenant, when you consider what he put himself through, which isn't necessarily what you should consider when you're doing a best lead act, but it is part of it. Like, Michael Fassbender,
part of it.
He had to show up and put on a black turtleneck, and that's it.
Right.
Leo DiCaprio had to go, like, live in the wild and, like, eat.
It was harder. Yeah, it was
for,
harder.
Like,
for sure. I could see that being one of the things. I would think also the other way would be like, no, what's most believable and most out there acting?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that he would qualify for that because he was, like, you don't really see him as Leonardo DiCaprio in that movie. You see him as this guy Glass.
When he was given his acceptance speech and he started thanking all the people that had been with him for so long, or he was hearkening back to his past. And I was like, are we going to hear him thank Alan Thicke or Kirk Cameron? Like, this
keep
would
going
be
back.
Amazing.
You can tell that part of that speech was written about 5-10 years ago.
Really?
No, you think
or he's
so.
He's waiting for it.
He thought he was going to win so many times. He's like,
Scorsese,
you know what? Yeah, he did. And he should have. I thought that he did it really well. And it was one of those things, we talked about it also, is that people were like cheering when he won because it was one of those things.
Standing
like,
O, man.
He became an underdog because he was such a dominant guy for so long and hadn't won that eventually it's like an athlete. We're like, what, Peyton Manning hasn't won a Super Bowl?
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, but he's not an underdog. Like, I know, but he's become one if he hadn't won, you know?
It was Mickelson winning a
title.
Major. It was Peyton Manning winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, everyone wants him to, like, it's an injustice when he hasn't won.
Right.
Yeah.
Some guy we've liked for two, three decades.
Yeah. Will it be easier for him now? Do you think he'll get, will it take
to
him,
win another one?
Yeah. Like, do you think he'll win one within the next 5-10 years?
Yeah, because I think the next 10 years, for sure, I just think he's that good of an actor.
He really
and
is.
he gets to pick whatever role he wants.
Well,
so he can literally look at the movie calendar that's coming out or the slate of scripts that he gets and says, this is the best performance that could win me an Oscar.
And you know what's funny, though, is you say that there are a lot of actors that could do exactly that, But Leo's also a great producer, and he also can see the good roles, because there's a lot of times you can have that kind of luxury and say, oh, I'm going to pick that role, when you pick a stinker.
Was Cake nominated for anything?
Last year
it was.
No, it got... She was snubbed. She was snubbed.
Yeah,
Jennifer Aniston.
That seemed like one of those movies where they showed it to her, like, this is your Oscar chance.
Yep.
And she goes, okay, I'll do it. And then when it doesn't get nominated, you're like, wait, what the fuck? We said this was going to be... Like, yeah, it just wasn't produced that well or something. I don't know.
She was great in them. I actually think she got screwed. I forget who was nominated against her last year, but I think that... I remember saying she could have moved in against someone. I think
Jonathan Lipnicki won that one. He did. It was an upset, I know.
Yeah. That would have been a big upset.
Because not only is he not a woman, actress, but also didn't act in anything in the last 15 years. So it was definitely a coup.
Screen Junkies now,
right? Yeah, I actually did a show with Lipnicki a couple. Very nice guy. Very into MMA.
Oh,
right. It seems like if you were a child actor, you go one of two ways. You either go in heavily into like drugs and drinking, or you go into like some sort of like weird fitness. Like, I'm so disciplined.
I see a lot of people do that when they face immortality, when they've gone to the top of where they can go. In comedy, it's Carrot Top, Dane, Chappelle. But I'm saying Carrot Top's was as high as he could go with that.
Right.
Dice, sure. Yeah, for a while. But like of the new guys, then they start working out like crazy.
My theory is
they're like, I've done everything, every goal I've set, I've achieved. And now I realize I'm still going to die.
You know who
started
that?
So let me just work on this bar.
Who? Joe Piscopo.
Piscopo
was on top of the world because him and Eddie Murphy were crushing Saturday Night Live. Yeah. We knew it was because of Eddie Murphy, but Piscopo was hanging.
He was there.
He was in a lot of sketches. So then Eddie Murphy leaves and Piscopo goes his way. And it's like, oh my God, I don't have that black guy that used to come and make people laugh with me. What do I do now?
He just got my body.
Jacked.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Let me ask you guys a question. Rosie O'Donnell. Do the Oscars, the voters for the Oscars, when do they vote? Like, in this award process?
It's a great question as far as, like...
Because when you say, like, he won the SAG Awards, he won the Golden Globes, like, it feels to me like those guys already should have voted by then.
Yeah, the question is, well, I don't think they do, because remember, because you're in SAG, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, like, when we get those ballots as far as, like, when you're... It's due. When your final votes are due, it's usually, like... I think like 4 or 5 days before the actual.
Oh, really?
I think so.
I always send it to my homosexual friends.
Just to
let them
out.
Vote. Yeah, they really like it.
Yeah. All right.
And to vote for the Oscars?
No, the SAG Awards.
Oh, you get, okay, yeah.
I forget. Don't quote me on that because I don't know how long, but it's within 2 weeks, we'll say.
Oh, really?
For sure.
So these guys vote that soon out?
I think. You would think.
Because they're stumping. If you got to vote for the Oscars and you don't want to do it, throw it our way.
Tally it up.
We would love to vote from
the Oscars.
You know, like, yeah, Ari wrote for the Oscars. He heckles the American Sniper.
Ari just writes in his own movies.
Yeah.
Well, let's take me through some of the awards first, and then we'll go a little more about how the parties were and stuff. You didn't go to any parties?
No, we didn't go to the parties. No.
Well, then I'll tell you about my trip home on Sunday night to the Comedy Store, passing all the parties.
Okay.
Oh, they were fun. Okay, let's do best screenplay.
Best original screenplay,
original.
And then best adapted screenplay are two different ones. Now, adapted is from previous source material. That was
which
the
means
big
a book.
Short.
This is a
short.
Book already.
Yeah,
that should be different because like you didn't get there all yourself. This guy wrote
not
a fucking book. You just
not
changed
right.
a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's do adapted first. That's the worst of all the awards.
See, I don't know. See, the thing is, I think there is a skill to that because especially when you get because of the jokes and the comedy that has to play into that and what Adam McKay did for that movie, and just. I don't know. I think it was a good transfer. I think it was deserved. I think it's hard to adapt certain books.
I think it's skilled, but not as skilled as starting from scratch.
Right.
Yeah.
And original was Spotlight, right?
Original was Spotlight, yeah.
Spotlight's the guy who ran the workout place?
No.
That was last year.
That was Creed.
Yes. No. Spotlight was about the Boston Globe story about that they...
Oh, yeah.
The scandal of the Catholic... The
yeah, with that one guy, kids. The Hulk.
Yes, Mark Ruffalo is in it. Michael Keaton.
Did he win something?
They won Best Picture. Spotlight won Best Picture.
Oh, that's why he was like, fuck yeah. Did you see that? Did you see that clip?
Dude, he walked in.
Pumps his fist and goes, fuck yeah.
I was telling Ellis. Like, so
that's two in a row for him.
Well,
Best
Pictures go. Yeah, he's been in the last two Best Pictures.
Birdman won last.
Birdman won last year.
Best Picture, yeah.
So I was on the carpet. So for where you and I are sitting right now, this is how close everybody was to me. And so people are going by. And Keaton walks in, doesn't talk to anybody press wise, but walks in with sunglasses and just looks over and he's just like,
to you?
To everyone. Just a nod and just moves in. And you're like, what a fucking animal. That guy was so great. Just a total, like, presence.
He seems like such a hard guy to lock down for an interview.
Yeah, you just felt him.
How long ago was Mr. Mom?
82.
82. So he's been around.
How the hell did I know?
35 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a major guy for 35 years.
Yeah. I mean, when he started the store back in like the late 70s,
I guess so.
Yeah, Harris Pete, who used to work the door there, the little crusty doorman in the comedy store, used to say that the two best comics that he ever saw there were Jim Varney.
Jim Varney.
Who played Ernest.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Keaton.
Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern. Know what I mean, Vern? Yeah. And he said Michael Keaton was like amazing.
Can see that. Smart dude. So those were the adapted and original. Those two. I think both deserve.
Anything else should have gotten it? Because to me, and I like to say this every time, award shows at their core are kind of lame. Because like I saw Birdman and Whiplash, and I enjoyed Whiplash better.
Yeah.
So if it was me, I would have voted for that. But like, so they shouldn't be like, well, it wasn't as good because it didn't win.
There's one other guy.
The idea of getting an award is kind of like lame when someone else doesn't get it. But how do you guys feel about that? That being said, how do you guys feel? Was there something else that should have won Best Screenplay?
I think these two were pretty clean cut.
I would have been okay if other ones, like for me, like if you go to adapted, like if Room would have won, I would have been okay, that works. But I think that both the ones that won deserve to win.
Okay. I will tell you this too before we get too far in. My plan this year, I mean, our real plan was to have watched all the nominated best movies here. Yeah, I really was going to surprise you.
And how many did you end up seeing?
I believe zero.
See Mad Max?
I said Mad Max. That was not even the best movie?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Yeah.
All right, so
how in the world was Mad Max nominated for best movie?
George Miller.
Because they wanted to give it up for him for something?
But dude, it won a ton of awards last night. It won
a lot of technical.
I can see best MTV award for best action scenes, best car chase.
It won visual effects.
If it didn't win best car chase, then the MTV awards have to rethink their whole thing.
I don't know. There was a Fast and Furious movie.
There was no car chase and a 90-minute car chase.
What do you got? What do you
okay? So I'm gonna read off the best picture nominees, and then you tell us what you've seen. Okay. There's 8 total.
Oh, okay.
Did you see 8 movies this year?
I saw Mad Max.
Okay, so that's one at least.
So by the way, Mad Max, first movie in a long, long time. I went and saw it by myself.
And
I was walking
it?
Back from the stand, and I saw. I was like, wait, 10 minutes from now. I was like, fuck it, I'll go into that. I loved it. I saw it twice.
I was concerned about you because every so often when I was going to a movie, he'll text me whether he should get high or not before the movie. And I think that regardless of what I told you, you were planning on seeing Mad Max high. And I was like, dude, it's really intense.
That's a good one to see
high. Did you see it high?
You have to.
I assume I did.
That's a good one to see high.
But I mean, there's a base level of high also. You would say not to see Mad Max high?
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't smoke weed.
Yeah, I don't know how you would handle something like
that's what I'm saying.
Oh, he has no idea what the actual...
I say, you go.
It's so crazy anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw Mad Max.
But you don't want to see high as like 12 Years a Slave.
Right.
When you're like,
emotionally,
this is...
Yeah.
My girlfriend said she did that. Said she went with a bunch of people to see 12 Years a Slave high. And then after 10 minutes, like, oh, this is way too much.
Go to the therapist right afterwards?
Yeah.
I got a movie you need to see high.
What?
Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Ex Machina?
I haven't. I've heard good things and terrible things.
Get terrible, high and see it.
Lose the terrible people as friends. It was my number one movie of the year last year.
Really?
Yeah, I loved
it. I do have now some people that I go to for what they like. I was like, cool, I'll definitely avoid that.
Right.
Or like what they don't like, I'm like, ooh, I got to see that right now.
Yeah. Do you tell them that to their face? Or
I don't. Yeah. Joe Rogan is the main guy. I'm like, his taste is just opposite taste. I'm not even going to say his garbage taste, but like, because he also hated American Sniper. So he sees me sometimes. But certain times, I'm like, I'm just not seeing what you're seeing.
Right.
Yeah. It's funny how that works.
See, eventually when he's doing these sabotage screenings, he's going to book like famous talent to come in. Like you'll have Rogan go up and just do 5 during American Sniper. Uh-huh.
Well, Benson has a show kind of like that, but he plays an old shitty movie, and then he has 3 guys on microphones talking over
theaters.
It.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah,
yeah.
What,
okay, right, so Best Picture. So you saw Mad Max. Did you see The Big Short?
Nope.
Okay. Bridge of Spies?
Wait, hold on. Big Short's about the housing crisis?
Yes.
No,
yes.
It's about the...
Wait, you did see it?
No, I've just thought I've heard of it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
Bridge of Spies with Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Nope. But I'm proud of myself for knowing it was Tom Hanks.
Brooklyn?
Nope. But that was playing at the Sunset 5?
Sure, yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. One thing about every movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
good. The Martian?
No, but I know who that was.
The Martian?
No.
Get high and see it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
the Revenant?
Did not see that. I was going to go see that, and it just didn't work out with time.
Room?
No.
That's Sunset 5. Spotlight?
Nope.
Sunset 5. As a Jewish guy, I'm surprised you didn't go Spotlight opening night.
Well, I... Why, it's about Jews?
No, it's about Catholic priests and how dirty they are. So you can be like, see?
Room, though. Room was a movie that I had heard.
Would you get high and watch that?
No. That's one I don't
know. You guys ever see In the Bedroom?
Yes.
That's the movie, and especially how it lost to the crazy guy from Gladiator.
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
A Beautiful Mind.
Beautiful Mind. Yeah, lost that. And that's when I really stopped like caring about the Oscars. I still enjoy it, but it's like I don't care about them anymore.
You can't get emotionally invested.
Yeah, because I was so into that movie. But that's a kind of movie where it's like, do not see that high.
Yeah.
Watch it and fucking feel it.
Well, the way you boycotted was always our old engineer last night. And by the way, did you see Michael Rapaport's video last night?
I did.
What was his video?
So the best supporting actor happened last night, and everybody thought Stallone was going to win it.
Sylvester Stallone
for Rocky.
Stallone, he's been winning everything for Creed. He's been winning.
Was he good?
He was great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Was he really?
I had him winning, and then there was one.
Did you guys see him in that other boxing movie he just did?
Oh, the one with De Niro?
Uh-huh.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Grudge Match?
That's why he didn't win last night, because people had seen Grudge Match. But
I didn't actually see Grudge Match.
It was terrible.
I saw it in the theater.
Wow.
Screening with Joey Diaz, who was in it. De Niro right in front of us, asleep.
De Niro was asleep?
Mm-hmm.
That was like when we saw... I saw four...
This is a great story.
I saw Listen four Christmases. It was a movie back in... It was Vince Vaughn and who the hell else is in it? But the late James Gandolfini was in it, and I went to the premiere of Four Christmases. Gandolfini... I remember I was a huge Sopranos fan, so I'm watching him the whole time, and he's with his manager, and he's sitting there, and I remember looking back up, and Gandolfini at one point is like, no. And he gets up, and he's about to leave because it was so bad. His manager... pulls him down.
Oh my God.
Because he couldn't leave, and he just sits down. He's like, and he just slumps back in like he wanted out of that theater.
But he did it. He finished. He worked the 3.5 months on it.
He wanted out.
That's hysterical.
It was the best.
Can't you tell a movie up. Shit before you even started? Or no, can you not?
You don't see the edit and everything, too.
Yeah.
That you're working with somebody who's a pretty.
Looks like a good script.
Sometimes. Look, there's actors, and especially Gandolfini at that time, who probably had a pretty tight schedule where it's like, let's see if I can fit in a movie to do, and it's a nice paycheck, and it's going to get a wide release. I'll make some money off it. So you know it's not going to be art when you go in there, but you just figure you'll navigate the waters of promoting it as best you can. You show up to the premiere. You're thinking there's got to be at some point I can escape this mess. It's his manager's fault for having him go through the red carpet and then sit down in the theater.
No, no, no.
If he's gone through the red carpet,
no,
then you should find the back alley and get out then.
But before you get in there. It's also in their contract that they have to be at these things.
Yeah, you got to promote stuff, or they won't hire you next time.
But you can promote it. You can show up. You can wave, take the pictures. Then before you actually sit down in the premiere, you just go to the bathroom before the thing starts and never come back.
Yeah,
I mean, you could do that, but yeah. To me, it's like when I hear stuff like that, it's like I just have lost respect for those actors. Where like Gandolfini, you were like an artist. You were great at what you do, and you're not starving. So why are you taking shitty roles? You know what I mean?
For the money, bad choice though.
Then you've sold out.
Sometimes you don't know though. You could look at it.
If it's then I understand.
And you also think the fact, because you know that Vaughn was great at improvising everything too, and maybe you think, okay, this could be pretty funny. It's Vince Vaughn. He's had some pretty hits. It's some pretty good hits in the past, and it just didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, and you think, okay, maybe we'll do some more improvising on the set, and we'll be able to kind of make our magic there, and it didn't work.
The ultimate sabotage screening you could do would be at a premiere. If you somehow were able to wrangle at a premiere. That's the dream. That's Valhalla.
That's jail time.
That'd be up to They deal with you later. They're just like, get him out of here. Yeah. We'll deal with it. That's Valhalla.
But so when Stallone...
See you in Valhalla! Man, that was such a good movie!
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, they nominated for that. That doesn't seem like a movie that could be nominated for Best Movie,
No. Normally, it isn't. Normally, you would see it at like whether it be MTV or even People's Choice Awards and stuff, too.
Yeah.
But the fact that George Miller was able to do this, it is a technical, it's a technical masterpiece. It really is a genius film when you look at what he was able to do and put it together. Mad Max.
What do you mean? Like, what was he able to do?
I mean, technically, the way he put it together, the special effects,
nothing looked fake.
No, that's what
I mean. The sandstorm, nothing looked fake.
Does it look like a 75-year-old man made that movie? Looks like a 25-year-old made it.
I didn't even consider that.
It had an energy to it.
I'm not ageist, so I wouldn't say that, but I would. I hear what you're saying.
It had a pace. It was great. It wasn't, the most original story you've ever seen. It's playing off the previous Mad Maxes a little bit. It's a bunch of big car chases. But just how creative it was in fleshing out these tiny characters. Like, they had a guitar player playing a guitar and powering this character. It's such a...
Mike Lawrence talks
about
it, and he goes, the stuff they had in there, even those old crows that would walk on those, those, and they're like, they didn't even say what those were.
You didn't need to.
They're just in the background. Yep. Maybe it's another storyline.
It's part of the world.
It's part of the world. You don't have to go into every detail of what you show.
So it took home, I think, 3 or 4 Academy Awards.
Best makeup, four or five.
Best makeup,
all
the white
costuming, editing. I think like 4 or 5.
Yeah, editing, some sound mixing, maybe in there too. But it was nominated for best director, and Best Picture, and did not take home either one of those awards. But yeah. I mean, the only real surprise in the Big Six was, like Christian was saying, Sylvester Stallone not winning for Creed, because it just seemed like he had so much nostalgic support. Right. Mark Rylance, who played the spy, quote unquote, in Bridge of Spies,
he won.
Ended up getting the upset.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, it was funny.
I wanted Stallone.
I wanted Stallone. I thought Stallone was going to win, but I did say, because we were talking about it.
Did you think he should have won, besides what you want?
Yes.
I don't think you're answering honestly.
I'm not upset. Like, as we were saying before in the bedroom, like, I can't. Like, I'm not upset that he lost to Rylance, because Rylance was that good. Bridge of Spies, like, and Creed was a better movie, in my opinion. Like, to me, like, Bridge of Spies was a good movie. It didn't have that Spielberg magic to it at all. It was pretty fine. I think people loved it a lot more than they should have. But Rylance stole the movie from Tom Hanks.
And Spielberg. To be the best part of a Spielberg Tom Hanks movie?
We both came out of the movie saying the same thing. It was just like, yeah, it was fine, but that dude was great. We didn't know who he was. Yeah, and it was like, Mark Rylance.
What else has he been in?
Mark Rylance,
theater guy.
God knows what. I mean, he's been in movies. He's been a working actor for a long time. You'd see his face and recognize him, but he just played the spy to a point where it's like, I'm an American, I'm a proud American, and I should be hating this guy. This guy should be a black and white character where we just feel for Tom Hanks' character because he's got to represent this douchebag, but this guy was such a three-dimensional character where you see life from his perspective, and to say that about a guy who's a spy against us in World War II is a tremendous accomplishment, and it's something that Spielberg set out to do, you know, but Rylance pulling that off, that's a hard role to pull off. You can be a mentor to a boxer easier, I think, than you can be that spy.
I like, exactly. And you've seen that mentor before. You've seen Mickey. It's like, you know that already.
Well, I think that's what it was. It was the fact that, and it was also because Stallone.
And we saw a million dollar baby.
But we got him there. He got there because he knows Rocky, and it's like, this is a new. This is not like a new thing for him. So it was easy. So maybe people thought this might have been easy for him to do. And it wasn't, because he goes through some crazy. You haven't seen Creed?
I heard mixed reviews on that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man, I love Creed.
Creed.
I love Creed.
It's going to feel a lot like the original Rocky, and it's supposed to.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, the other thing is, like, when they set out to make Creed.
Yeah.
Nobody was thinking at the time. They were confident in it. Because the pitch that Ryan Coogler gave, the director, and all that stuff. But nobody was thinking at the time, this movie's going to be an Oscar movie.
Especially Stallone getting the nomination.
Rocky was an Oscar movie, though, right?
The original Rocky? The first one. Rocky IV, not so much, even though it's a great documentary. But, like, Creed comes out, and it's just something that, you know, it really was such a return to form for that franchise. Creed might be the best or second best Rocky movie in the entire franchise. It's that good.
It really is. But I don't know if I'm going to go second or third, but that's another podcast.
Whether it's second or third?
Oh, second or third best. I mean,
what's your best Rocky movie?
Rocky, the first one, is the best.
I go back and forth all the time between the three. Like, someday you might catch me, and I'll give you that it's 1-3-2. Some days you'll catch me, and I'll go 2-1-3.
It's definitely not with the Russian.
No, that's four.
It's definitely not Tommy Gunn.
But it can't be in, you know, five doesn't even deserve.
And it's definitely not
Balboa
when he was like 70.
Balboa just got his career back on track. That's all. But as far as the top three are my favorite, and I can rearrange on any given day the three of those movies.
Okay.
I was in Philly, and I went to not only the statue and the steps, but I also decided to I was with Caparulo, and we decided to go to the other Rocky sites where they filmed it, and it is scary.
It's crazy.
Oh, really?
It's
like how bad
downtown,
it is?
Downtown. Detroit, went to Fishtown, Philadelphia. Holy God.
See,
man.
What?
I went to the Creed. I interviewed Stallone and Michael B. Jordan for the Creed premiere.
For what?
For Fandango.
Oh.
In Philly, right?
Yeah. And so I didn't go through the same experience because I was being bussed around with all the reporters. So I was like, this is wonderful. Let's get a cheesesteak.
Oh, yeah. Cap and I rented a red Mustang.
Yeah.
And we're driving around town. So everybody's looking at us like, why is this nice car driving through this
area
of Philadelphia?
Please break down.
It's like vacation. No hubcaps by the end of it.
Yeah.
Roll them up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we drove by Mighty Mix Gym. We drove by the old Lucky 7 bar, which isn't like really there anymore. Oh. But it was cool just being at a place where to get a movie like that made, when they got it made, in the area that they got it made, to come up with that product, ultimately, in 1976. Yeah. You know the actual run that Rocky goes on at the end of the movie? And the run that he goes on in Rocky II when all the kids are going after him?
Yeah.
That run, if you clock it out, it's 31 miles.
Oh, wow.
The guy went on a 31-mile jog to get in shape to fight Apollo. So, yeah.
How long? That's more than a what's it called, right?
More than a marathon.
Yeah. All right, that's pretty far.
The raw eggs helped.
Yeah.
let's go to Best Supporting Actress.
Okay, Best Supporting Actress.
That was...
Was there anybody else? Hold on. Was there anybody else in Best Supporting Actor that was like, fuck, that was one of the best shit I've ever seen?
No.
That reaction came from who won?
Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah. Alicia Vikander.
Actress, yeah.
She is... Not only is she just gorgeous.
Where's she from?
Well, she was... you mean like where's she actually from?
Uh-huh.
She's from... I think she's from Switzerland.
One of those S ones. Switzerland? Sweden or Switzerland?
Sweden, I think it is.
I get them mixed up a lot, too. They both seem just as free and just as clean and just as cold as each other.
But nobody's getting Swedish chocolate. You get that from Switzerland,
yeah,
I Swiss think.
Chocolate, yeah.
And she was also an Ex Machina. But she... Oh, really? Yeah, she's like the main robot.
Oh.
But she was so good in The Danish Girl. This girl is going... She's like a superstar actress.
Really?
Yeah, you're going to know her name.
Everybody thought she was the one who should have won?
She was the front... Her and Kate Winslet. Kate Winslet could have stole it in Jobs.
Did Kate Winslet get it? Titanic?
Jobs.
Jobs.
Yeah. Oh. They brought back... It's a sequel. Direct to Blu-ray.
Yeah. Rooney Mara was great in Carol, where it's her and Kate Blanchett, and it's 1950s. They have a forbidden love between each other.
Ooh, lesbo.
Provocative stuff. Scenes. And she was so good, but she was so prominent in that movie.
Did they show penetration, like with dildos and stuff?
I don't think they had dildos in the 1950s.
Fingered penetration, do they show?
They don't show the penetration.
They at least show rubbing clits?
Cake batter.
I don't.
Cake batter?
Yeah. did they show scissoring? I don't think they showed scissoring in that movie. I think
it's
more of acting with the eyes, Ari.
Oh. I don't know. If you want me to believe it, I want to see it. What are they doing?
Don't worry. It'll be on Mr. Skin in about 5 minutes.
It's behind closed doors kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, right.
Kate Blanchett got nominated for lead actress, so they pushed Rooney Mara for supporting, and I think it went to the right girl. Because Alicia Vikander stole The Danish Girl from Eddie Redmayne, who was the Danish girl.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Eddie, the boy?
Eddie Redmayne,
He was the guy who won last year for Best Actor for playing...
Wait, what do you mean she stole...
She stole the movie. They're in the movie together.
Oh, she stole it from
him. Yeah, the same way that you took up Ed Hamm's scenes. What'd you call him? Jim Hamm?
John Hamm?
Jimmy Hamm?
Yeah,
I just said Hamm. I just said Hamm.
No, you said Ed Hamm or something.
No. I said and Hamm. Galifianakis and Hamm.
You don't know the director's name?
Tom Hamm.
Ed Hamm?
Tom Hamm. but yeah, she's something, man. She's really... Everyone's going to know her name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's dating Fassbender also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that'll definitely not last for sure, because they're actors. Was there anybody in supporting, both either boy or girl?
You seem like somebody hurt you in the past.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. They're actors.
No, they never work. They go for 3 years and it's done.
Well, even if they go for 10 or 15, look at Affleck and Garner.
It always breaks up.
Always Those doesn't, things don't. Doesn't last
they're not good people. They're not full of rich people. So, of course, you're going to find out, oh, this other person's interesting and they make me complete myself
it's
now.
Who's the nanny?
Yeah. Yeah, it's somebody. Yeah. Somebody. No, you don't understand.
Yeah, but I'm not apologizing for that kind of behavior, but dude, nannies are hot.
Nannies are hot.
Nannies are the closest an adult can get to having like a hot teacher.
Yeah.
The closest you can get is having a hot nanny.
I just don't understand the what's his name? The Bush lead singer. What's this guy's name?
Gavin Rossdale.
You see that nanny?
Gwen
Stefani?
He had Gwen Stefani in the bag. Right?
Yeah,
and then, for years. And then he went after the nanny.
And she looks like you, the nanny.
Well, I mean, then I'll applaud him for his decision. Like, I think that, but again, nanny hot isn't necessarily, like, they're not runway models, but there's something about the fact that they're a nanny. And they're like human
it's
being.
Creepy.
Also, at this point, once you've heard about nannies enough, I mean, if I were a dude, a girl, I'd be like, no, you're not hiring there's no way.
Right.
You're hiring a 12-year-old or below. Or probably a 12-year-old dude.
Especially if you're Garner, because like Affleck's had some issues in the past.
Oh,
with women and gambling and all that stuff. She's like, can I...
And also your husband's Ben Affleck.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Can I have a say in the hiring here?
If you're a rock star, there's plenty of ugly nannies that need work. And if you're a rock star and you have a wife, the wife should step up and be like, we're going to give this ugly person... Because let's face it, this hot nanny might have a career in Hollywood. This ugly nanny, she's going to be a professional nanny. She's going to be better taking care of your kids than the hot nanny who is taking time between watching your kids to sleep with your husband.
It doesn't matter. It looks like the ugly nannies win, too, because look at that Rosdell thing.
I guess so. Yeah.
Who?
She looks
the
like
ugly
me.
Nanny. The one who left Gwen Stefani.
You want Mrs.
And the one who took
That's
down the one who took down
Sandra Bullock?
Commando.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Schwarzenegger did the nanny.
She was gross.
Yeah.
But then how next level is this? Tiger Woods cheats on his wife, who was a nanny. So he got the nanny, he cheated on the nanny.
She had the nanny.
He turned into his wife. So the nanny got a promotion, then she got promoted too high, because then Tiger Woods started
sleeping. You're not a nanny anymore.
Yeah.
You're not hot.
Right, you're not the nanny anymore. You lost your nanny.
What is it about someone who takes care of your children that's hot? What I mean. It should go the opposite way.
It's like, yeah.
Have you had a hot babysitter?
No. My mother-in-law. Oh, does anybody know where the silverware is?
Oh. And you're like, Mom, I think I'm supposed to fuck you.
Has your mother-in-law gotten more attractive since she's yeah.
No. Quite the opposite. How does the remote work?
Hey, Pat, you're looking good today. Yeah,
right. Do you guys do a podcast on the treadmill?
No,
is that why you have a microphone there?
I type on the... I haven't used that yet, the mic yet, for the...
you can just type while you're
that's
running?
That's what I do, yeah.
Wow. How yeah. do you, I mean...
It's easy. It's
like, we'd offer to let you try it, but you're kind of laid up at the moment.
You just do this, Jamie. I'm like...
I get that, but when you're moving, when you're running, yeah. up, and now do it while you're jogging. Oh, show me.
No, you're not going to jog. You're going to walk.
I'm going to walk.
Oh, walking makes sense.
You're going to maybe get a brisk walk.
there you go. Yeah.
I can see.
You just type.
He's walking.
You can't do it while you're jogging, though. Yeah.
Ari, I'm going to tell you a couple facts about this treadmill.
Okay.
It just got here today.
It literally arrived today.
No way. Why is it all
dirty?
I have
a bet in the office as to how many days a week Christian actually uses this thing, and the over-under is 1.5 days a week that he actually utilizes the walking treadmill.
What do you say, Ari?
Over-under is 1.5 out of 5 days a week.
Per week? And how long?
1.5. Is 20 minutes fair?
I did 20.
No. I mean, how many weeks until... Because I see this used as a clothes hanger.
Oh, what's the sample?
A clothes hanger within 6 months.
Yeah.
It'll be completely covered.
Someone will
go like, oh, there's a treadmill in here?
I don't need to. I'll give you 3 months.
3 months before it's unused.
Yeah.
I'll buy that. It just got here today, and you're already convincing me that you do type while you're on the treadmill?
I'm trying to show you how to do it.
You just don't look comfortable on it yet.
Well, I have a microphone in my hand, and I'm trying to talk.
You know what I'd love to hear right now? Just like,
yeah. Here's how you do it, buddy.
Yeah, I'm still 24-46.
Buddy, you're not doing it right, bro.
Yeah, imagine he pops in with face. I'll tell you this. If Paul didn't come in during the hot nanny conversation, he is not showing up.
That's true. He has had his fair share of nannies.
Of nannies.
When you come in here next year, Christian's going to mandate that he has to be on the walking
the whole time. The whole time. Yeah, absolutely. Podcast. Absolutely.
I got to figure out how to turn that thing off.
Next year, we should do this from a movie theater.
Yeah.
We should watch a movie and then just stay there for a while.
You have to watch at least 5 of the best Oscar, the best pictures next year.
I'll do that.
All right.
I'll do that.
I mean, it's 5. Incumbent upon us.
But you guys got to let us know early on. We're like, hey, just so you know, this one will be nominated. I'm saying like one that comes out in April.
The nominations come out in like early January.
But Ari, I'll tell you this.
You only give me a month and a half to watch them all. I'm saying when something comes out in April or May, just like this is one you're definitely going to be nominated.
Most of those don't get nominated. Mad Max was an anomaly in that it was a summertime movie that got nominated. So most of them come out around October, November, December.
Between September. You can probably get a couple.
That's when it's time to go.
We'll try to let you know ahead of time.
You'll get a few maybe like anomalies, like Mad Max came out in May and then Ex Machina, which came out in March.
Yeah. Okay.
But you also tricked. I mean, you did that shit where you moved to New York and then it's like, now I don't know what theater to send you to. Because out here, when you live
there's so many theaters all over.
You can just walk down to the Sunset 5 and see all the Oscar movies.
Are you in New York full time now?
Except for the winter. I come here for the winter. Me and Full Charge switch spots.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a next question, because I don't have that much time. You've heard about the Oscars being all white.
Yeah.
My feeling is, it's a fucking white organization. Of course, white male organization. Of course, they're going to nominate themselves. They like to see themselves.
Right.
For the same reason women want to see more women, white men like seeing white men on screen. That's just the way it is. Everyone likes saying themselves. Here's my problem, though. Everyone is skirting over the next category where it's best director. And everyone's like, it's completely white. And it's like, this guy is a Mexican.
I believe he is of Hispanic descent.
And it was like, no one's even mentioning it in this whole debate. He's from Mexico.
No, he isn't. Is he?
Look it up.
Really?
Alejandro G. Iñárritu is probably Spanish.
That ain't some fucking... He ain't from fucking Alabama.
No, but he's not. How do you know he's from Mexico?
I think somebody looked it up.
Harlow's back on the walking treadmill.
On the treadmill.
Walk that shit into your brain.
You know what's funny, though, is like... I think it's a worthwhile debate to have. I think, you know, more minorities need more opportunities in movies and stuff like that, which is where it starts.
To me, it's like, they have to... You can't just say, how come NWA wasn't nominated? It's like, what are you... NWA nominated for a best movie? Why would it be?
Right, right. You need to have more opportunities. opportunities.
You need to be able to choose from someone.
You need to buy more lottery tickets to win the lottery, right? So, but I saw this poor guy. I got back to my apartment late last night, and some guy who's clearly trying to get laid was talking to a woman about the Oscars, and he was a white guy preaching on. He's like, but it's not just blacks needing more opportunities. We need more opportunities for Asians and more Chinese and more this and this. And he was clearly just doing it to get laid. Uh-huh. I think a lot of people love pontificate about it without making actual change to it.
Yeah,
you're right.
He's from Mexico.
I thought he was from Spain.
So why Spain too? It's either way, but it's like, why is no one mentioning?
No, I knew that.
That the guy didn't he win last year too?
He did.
Yeah,
for what?
The first time in like this is the first time since like the 20s or 30s.
He was Birdman.
Yeah, first time in the 20s since the 20s or 30s that a director has won 2 years in a row.
And what did he win for this year?
The Revenant.
The Revenant.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's,
where he directed the very white.
So Keaton won best movie 2 years in a row. This guy won best directors 2 years in a row. Yep. And they didn't pair up again.
No. Right.
So this guy's dominating, and everyone's like, it's all white. I don't see. It's like there's six categories, right? Best female male, best supporting female male, best actor. I'm sorry, best director, best movie.
It was
right. Those are the big six.
Those are the big six.
And so this guy's won one of the big six the last 2 years running.
He's won. Yeah, he won.
Twice. That's overrepresented in the Hispanics.
Okay, you want something real that's going to blow your mind? Is that the guy, the cinematographer for this guy the last 2 years, and has now won that award 3 years in a row.
Wow.
Best cinematographer, same guy has won it 3 years in a row now.
Wow.
That is like, that, I mean, that's Tiger Woods in the early 2000s right there.
You know what it is? It's I think one of the main things, because I don't think anyone set out to go, oh, we're not nominating any of the black actors and actresses. I think what it is that what you guys are saying is just not enough opportunities in general for, like, so there are some movies that are out there that were cast this year that probably could have been cast with black actors.
That's the thing. Whenever you get like Empire, it's a new show, and it's like or somewhere a new show, and it's like, look, we're giving parts to black people. It's like, yeah, but it's a black show. What you really should have is a show like Friends should have a couple black people on it. Like, why do all the friends have to be white?
But they're doing that now. Obviously, like, they've done that with, like, they did that with New Girl. They did that with...
Yeah, with New Girl. Exactly. That New Girl part, that has nothing to do with his race. They might make a storyline where he has an old black mom.
Right.
But, like, generally, it's like, these are just four roommates.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be any race. The idea is one girl, three guys.
Right.
Sure. Beyond that, it doesn't matter.
I just really want to see a show. I want to see a show like Friends that is marketed to the mainstream like Friends, but it's not like the five white guys and like one black dude. I want to see like five black guys and two white guys and just not make it a black show.
Right,
just
not make anything about that.
Show,
yeah.
You know?
Well, that's what I thought was so great about Creed, because Creed to me just seemed
wasn't a black movie.
No, I mean, it was a human story. I mean, in general, like, it had, like, Stallone was in it, but it really, I mean, Coogler, by the way, Ryan Coogler was a black director. I think that
Coogler, I would have guessed.
Ryan Coogler.
I'm thinking of Kugel. Potato Kugel. That should be nominated for best side dish in a Jewish Jewish
Kugel?
Lunch.
I think it just was. I gotta tell you, that doesn't sound. I don't like the name of that.
You don't like food, though. A lot of food.
The name of potato Kugel?
Kugel, yeah. There's also Yerushalmi Kugel. Would you like that more? It's more noodly.
A noodle potato.
Dude, you'd love it. It's like a meatloaf, but with potato.
I'll tell you what I'll do.
No.
Look, I'll come over. I'll wait and see if Elijah comes over. Not, and then I'll see myself out. But I'm not going to eat it.
Yeah.
Is he coming this year? No, he's not. I'm going to Jersey Mike's. Sorry.
You think he should have won?
Yes.
Alejandro Gonzalez. Yeah.
I thought George Miller did an amazing achievement making Mad Max. It was between George Miller and Iñárritu.
It came out of those two.
Dude, they shot this movie, The Revenant, which is why you need to see it in the theater if you still can.
Yeah.
They shot it in all natural daylight. It took so much longer to do it that way. There's no lights. There's none of this shit. It's just the sunlight and in the snow.
Yeah. I went to see a movie last year that I think was an Oscar movie that I forget what it was, but it's one of those, like, you got to see it in the theater movies. Like, that's any of those space movies, or, you know, it's like, you got to see it.
Right?
Yeah, things like that. You got to see it in the theater.
Or Gravity. Yeah.
Gravity. Could have been one of those. And the guy I'm taking, he's like, you know, this is art. You can just rent this now for $5. And I want to be like, hey, dude, shut the fuck up. Your business is going out.
Yeah.
No one's doing it anymore. I'm actually paying for this shit.
Yeah. There's certain movies you have to see in the theater. Like, regardless if you're a Star Wars fan or not.
Yeah,
that's a movie you have to see in the movie.
But I hate when a guy who works at a theater is, and like, I used to work in a theater. Sure. I wasn't always up for, you know, entertaining employee customers. But you should want to sell you know, at Best Buy now, half the time they just convince you to go on the website and not even buy anything in store.
Yeah, you should show up and be like, hey, I know you can get this for $5. You made a great choice showing up today because it's a really, it's a big picture. Yeah.
That's the guy I want. That's a go-getter.
Well, Best Buy people want, they don't want to be working. It's like how I was at table. I used to give away my tables when I walked
10 years ago, I'd walk into Best Buy, and when they were competing with Circuit City and taking them down, I had a line of minstrels that all had like the blue shirt and the khakis walking around because they wanted to help me.
Yeah.
Now you walk in and it's like I just walked into a sorority house pantsless. They all scatter.
Oh,
nobody wants to help me.
Yeah,
I feel bad about myself. It's like, did I do something wrong by coming here?
It's like, excuse me, what?
Yeah.
it's really how it feels.
I went to Portland. I went to Voodoo Donuts. You wouldn't understand, Ellis, but it's a place where you go to
eat. I went to Voodoo Donuts. I went to Voodoo Donuts.
You went by to take a picture of the outside. You wouldn't even go inside.
Exactly what I did.
The smell might add calories to your wasting away body.
You know where I did eat in Portland was Lardo. Did you go there?
No, it's Lardo.
It's right near the club. It's right around the corner from the
Helium.
What is it? The Helium?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
Lardo?
Yeah, Lardo. It's which is what they would call a fat kid where I was from.
Oh, yeah.
So I'd been called Lardo, and then I got that my comeuppance by ordering like the biggest fucking pork sandwich there at Lardo. Delicious
good
food
stuff,
up
huh?
there.
But this is what I went to Voodoo and I had a fucking good donut and I was like, and I saw a T-shirt behind where I was like, hey, can I buy a T-shirt? Looks cool. And she goes, oh, it's all the way upstairs, and then just stared at me like made no motion to go, and I was like. All right, I guess just a donut. Like she talked me out of the purchase.
Do you remember when because I used to work the door at the Comedy Store and the tickets, and so that's where people would go to want to buy a T-shirt, and I'd have to be like, yeah, but it's in the manager's office, so
and he's not going to get it right away. I got to find him first.
I got to find Richie. I don't know where the hell Richie is.
That's different though, too, because when you're working there, you're just working there for spots. Like that woman that he was talking about, like worked.
She's
there.
She's working there for donuts.
She wasn't working for donuts. She was working for $9 an hour or whatever it was in Portland they pay.
So she gets that plum nanny job.
Plum. All right, last two. Yeah. Last three.
So we got best actor.
Best actor, who's who?
Who was Leo?
Leo.
Okay.
Best
who else actor. Who else was really good in best actors?
Look, Fassbender.
Yeah.
Fassbender's good in everything,
yeah,
huh?
Yes. Fassbender.
Jaws. What else was he in besides Jaws? He was Shane. In 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
he was so fucking good in that.
He's Magneto in the X-Men movies.
Wait,
most recent X-Men.
Oh, the new generation.
He's not Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah,
the other one.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. He was in.
Did you see the last two that they've made?
I did like when what's that movie?
Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool. They're like, we got to take it to Professor X. Yeah. Like, which one? This Captain Picard or the other one?
Yeah.
Did you like Deadpool?
I did like Deadpool. There was a few moments where I was like, lame. But then overall, I was like, this is a pretty fun movie.
Yeah, it was
very funny.
Yeah,
like a stand-up show, like a laugh, good laugh,
good laughs.
Very, very cool.
Deadpool will never be nominated.
Deadpool will probably not be nominated anytime soon. Maybe a technical award or something. I still think
Ryan Reynolds is a bad actor. I think he there's moments in just about everything I've seen him in where I could just tell him reading lines.
Really?
I don't think that you needed to be a great actor to be Deadpool. I think you needed to have that personality.
Also, let me ask you guys a question. Was that just voiceover the whole time, or was he actually in that suit?
He was actually in that suit.
Why?
I think it added to it. I think I do. Because he did a lot of that marketing campaign was the
best. Those Valentine's Day shit.
Everything that they did like a Nicholas Sparks kind of advertisement for it. They've done like these billboards. Everything that they did for that movie, the Bachelor ad was really funny.
When they announced it was rated R, they killed Mario Lopez.
Yeah, and he said, "Fuck."
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it was great. It was like
remember they came out. They were like he announced at Comic-Con. Mario Lopez was like, "Okay, I'm gonna be in Deadpool." Everyone's like, "Whoa, I can't believe!" And then Deadpool comes out from behind him in costume and
hits
just snaps
him with
his neck.
Yeah.
Oh, hits him with a baseball bat.
Yeah. It was great, and I think that he had been promoting that, like the Halloween video. He did it with the suit on. He just has been. He's wanted to do this character for like 8 or 9
really?
Years. Yeah, because they did it wrong in Wolverine. They sewed his mouth shut and they just destroyed. They raped Deadpool.
Yeah, it was not. It was. A horrible representation of a character that had so much potential.
Yeah,
and
you
I
saw what happened with the potential of Phil.
Great. Such a well-done
It's almost
movie.
Like, why not just get a new character? Why are you putting a shitty character, ruining a character that should have his own book?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
All right. Well, two more things. Best woman.
Best actress we did.
Yeah,
did
best
we?
Woman was Brie Larson.
Oh, Brie Larson for Larson. Room. Yeah. I could have seen her or Cate Blanchett winning, and I'm glad that Brie Larson won. Brie Larson was my pick to win.
Amy Schumer posted a picture of them all together on Twitter, the two of them at Imbroglio.
Oh, right.
Some little kid.
Right. Yeah, the kid was the kid from Room who was...
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was...
And they were all playing baseball or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wait, the four of them?
Yeah.
Because Birbiglia was in...
Trainwreck.
Was he? Yeah, he had a part in Trainwreck, and Brie Larson was her sister.
In Trainwreck?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Maybe it was the kid. Maybe it was the kid from Trainwreck, too.
Yeah. It was the four of them, and I was like, I'm so proud. I was like, oh, Schumer knows everybody now.
Yeah.
She knows all the celebrities.
Did you work with her before she blew up?
Schumer?
Yeah.
I've seen her around and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if you worked with her and stuff, too. Like,
we've ever really worked together other than like
I'm sure I mean we've done shows together like at the improv and stuff when you're just probably. Both on the lineup but never like
that's not really work that's no people always like say work on together the, once somebody goes massive and like we worked together once and it's like no you didn't you both just did spots
Remember when I meant like going on the road and doing and stuff.
Used to try to be like he's worked with Dane Cook or like he's open for Chris Rock and it's like well yeah technically
I had a drink next time at Dublin's
exactly really count
open for you that's what I always say open for you like went on before you it's not open for you
right.
Schumer goes on the road with my friend Mark Norman. Rephrase: Mark Norman goes on the road with Schumer, and he was like, "She's so fucking cool. You're eating like the best restaurants you can eat, best hotels." And he goes, "And she ain't fucking any of the fans, so it's just on him to fucking clean house."
That's very true.
You know, like all those girls that show up are not gonna fuck Schumer.
That's very.
And he's like,
very
well, guess who knows her? Me and my dick. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
It's like all you have to do is be the bass player, but you're getting lead singer pussy.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's a pretty good gig. Plus, those crowds have got to be great.
The crowds are great.
You're no longer just doing clubs with a headliner who, like, some people are coming to see, but other people are just coming to have their birthday party.
Yeah,
like they're showing up.
Oh, it's
at
all
a
Schumer
theater
fans. Yeah, absolutely.
To see comedy. You know.
Yeah. It is still a theater, though, which is, like, lamer than a club, but that's just my opinion. Yeah.
It's...
But you know what? I've other people have said that, too, and I think even Schumer once. We're talking about, like, the Oddball and stuff, and it's like, it's never... It's great and stuff. It's just never quite as fun as a packed OR or a packed, you know, Denver Comedy Works something. Like, it's just... You feel better leaving that.
There's nothing like it. I did some theaters this weekend, and it felt like I was cheating stand-up for some reason.
Yeah.
Because you're just in one town. You just do one show, and all the jokes are working. There's never any, like... No waitress ever drops a drink.
Yeah.
There's no one person mean-mugging you.
If someone yells, you can just ignore it. Nobody even notices.
Yeah. It's just a very sterile kind of environment, which is great, because you write jokes, and you want them to work, but it's weird how you miss that drunk table in the corner.
There's no conversation.
Yep.
Anyway.
So Spotlight.
Last question. Yeah, Spotlight. That won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Did win Best Picture. Deservedly so, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a deserved. That was the one. There were not a lot of surprises this year. That was the one I picked to win. I think that it deserved to win. Mm-hmm. It was one of the
Spotlight better. Was the gay Catholic priests.
That were the boss.
You even call them gay.
It was the creep. Yeah,
it was about the cover up.
Yeah, it was about the Boston Globe cracked the case, and what it did is like most of the times you don't really see reporters painted in a positive light, and for what they did at the Boston Globe and to be able to bring justice to, I mean, the fact that they cracked that all that shit that was going down then, it was 2001. It was really phenomenal the way it all went down.
I'm sure also I didn't see it, but I'm sure also like the roadblocks they must have come across
big time.
One of them was 9/11 because it was around the same time as 9/11, and it's hard to break as like a 1-2 punch for the Northeast. You know, it's like you're reporting on all this 9/11 fallout and what happened and how it went
they
down.
Had to stop
and all
the story,
these
yeah.
Then you also have this story that you just kind of have to sit on because you know you don't want to revolt in the streets because of your newspaper. You want to make a difference, but you also don't want people stopping getting the paper. Because they're just tired of opening the news and seeing another
horrible,
horrific story.
And I think that why Spotlight deserved to win also too. Even you get a movie like The Revenant, and you know these, like, even with Mad Max, you have these movies that have like the one or two actors or actresses that it's their movie. Room is Brie Larson's movie for the most part. You know, Jacob Tremblay is great, but with Spotlight. It's an ensemble that, and everybody adds to it. It's not like you got to follow this person's story. It's all the same story. And Liev Schreiber
Schreiber's always good.
He is so different in this movie. And
he was so good in Kate Leopold. If not for the shitty movie.
Kate Leopold. You always bring that movie. I know. You love Kate Leopold.
Let's not picture your wife.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Kate Leopold, They referenced John Roebling at the beginning of that movie, which is why I instantly liked it.
Yeah. But that was it. Do you think
it was the best movie about reporters since the Deep Throat movie?
Maybe.
The Deep Throat movie is good.
Yeah.
When was that? That was like 25 years ago, right?
Deep Throat, yeah.
The movie Easily. Deep Throat? Or
no.
All the President's Men was like the mid-70s.
Yeah. All the President's Men, yeah.
So even longer than 25 years ago. But there's been... Michael Keaton was in another good reporter movie called The Paper. that he did after Batman.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And then, but that was the movie where Michael Keaton's like, I'm making these really hard-hitting movies that nobody gives a shit about because I'm no longer Batman.
Right.
So that's when he started to kind of just like take some time off from Hollywood. Then recently he's had a resurgence, and it's great to see him back. Spotlight was the movie that all the individual performances were great, but none of them would match up to like a Brie Larson or a Leo DiCaprio.
Right. Right.
So the ensemble, I like seeing all them on stage.
The team won.
They deserved
it. The team won.
It was a team win. A
bunch of platoons. It was like when the Orioles combined like four pitchers for a no-hitter.
Yeah. Right. Which is, the Orioles can do that and still won't make the playoffs. It's like the Patriots, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, it's a Boston thing. You know?
Oh, right, right. Yeah. I'm in the minority about 9/11 on this, but I believe that 9/11 should have been in Boston. I would have been a lot happier with it. Moving on.
Oh, man.
What what are you guys
taking the New York flight to Boston?
Okay,
see myself out.
Yeah, nobody's taking that. What do you guys think here? Early Oscar buzz for next year. What are the movies people are going to be talking about? Have you heard anything?
Very, very little. I mean, right now, what our job is to, first of all, get excited about summer movies and all that stuff. But if you look at Oscar movies, it's more like we hear about this movie coming out in the fall that has this cast.
Right.
So a movie coming out that I think might have a shot is called The Girl on the Train. And it's got Emily Blunt in it. And whereas Emily Blunt...
Based off a novel,
she's
given too, right?
Yeah, she's given a lot of good performances, but I think this is going to be her breakout as a star. Where, listen to this premise. So she rides the same train ride every morning to go to work, and she sees this seemingly idyllic couple that is just... They're always outside on their porch having breakfast. Then one time she goes by and she notices, oh, there's something going on between them. They're having a tiff. She goes by. As she keeps going by day after day, she sees more and more things, and she gets involved in what the couple's doing. She starts to research. There's a murder thing that happens, and then it's like, oh, what the hell is going on in this relationship? And she just can't get enough of it, so she gets sucked into that world, and what's it going to lead to?
Kind of reminds me of Rear Window by Hitchcock.
Yes.
Yeah. I also think, I don't know the extent of what it's about, but Scorsese has a new movie. So when Scorsese has a new movie, so that's with cool. Andrew Garfield.
Going to Japan.
Going to Japan. Yeah. So I mean, so anytime his name's out there, and you also have the movie Sully, which is...
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks played about the pilot that landed the...
Let me
ask, Eastwood directs it, and that scares me.
He's done. He's done as an artist.
Clint Eastwood is a guy that is known now on set for doing one take, and okay, we got it, let's move on. You can't do a Hudson River movie with that airplane landing in one take.
But wait a minute. So you can't, don't count him out, because last movie he directed, he heckled, but it still got there.
I think they've seen it on him. I think the veil has been lifted and people no longer view Clint Eastwood. Plus he's had those crazy speeches that people no longer view Clint Eastwood as someone they have to give awards to.
But Tom Hanks.
He got it for Unforgiven, Million Dollar Baby, got nominated at least. And so now they're like, that was your, Million Dollar Baby was the end for him.
I saw Unforgiven again like a week ago.
How good is
on
it?
A plane. God, it's good.
Yeah. Maybe the racist movie.
Sniper win?
It got nominated.
Yeah, it didn't win anything.
It didn't win
because of the fake baby, I think. Right. That's what they were saying. Like, we literally can't nominate you because it was so...
But that's the thing. It's like
but it was the most profitable movie of 2014.
Yes, right, but next, probably right, next to all those Christian movies that don't even get like included in the box office.
They make bank.
This was in line with that.
No, but it was...
It made that all-American money.
Faith-based movies. Will, you can movies. Make them for a dollar because people will show up in droves.
And that was. American Sniper was a faith-based movie.
Jewish movies not doing as well.
No, not doing as
the
well.
The Potato Kugel movie.
It's just better to not leave. Okay. Hateful Eight, what was your guys' opinion?
I liked it more than he did.
I liked it, didn't love it.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I thought that it was you go to those movies for Tarantino. It doesn't matter where it's.
There's no Tarantino movie that, because I just saw his second one again.
Jackie Brown?
Jackie Brown.
Yeah. And that was actually his third.
Third?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Reservoir Dogs,
first. And I remember then when he was just making movies, and now he's making Tarantino movies.
Yes.
And it's like there's never going to be, if you just flip across a Tarantino movie, even Hateful Eight, whatever, if you're just watching TV and it comes on, it's going to be way more interesting than any random movie.
Yeah.
So you're never going to not get your money's worth on a Tarantino movie. But it seems like he's doing a caricature of himself now. And he has been for about three films.
There's a spoof element.
You didn't love Django?
I thought Django was trying too hard to be that thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the same emotional moments in Django were there in Inglourious Basterds, but they were just way less than. The amount of fake blood that was popping off as Will Smith was behind a dead body.
He does that a lot in this movie, and I had a problem.
I get it. You explored campiness. Yeah. You explored this stuff in Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Move on to real films.
Sometimes campiness doesn't work because like it worked in Kill Bill, that violent stuff. I'm on the same page with you because that was one of my biggest issues with Hateful Eight. Like when there's like this
Kill Bill,
right? Like Kill Bill, it works. It didn't.
because you had like these really kind of intense moments, and then this spray thing would happen. It happens again in Hateful Eight.
It's almost like that's a trick that you use to engage the viewer and let them know what kind of movie you're in for. But with Hateful Eight, we were in that movie for 2 hours, didn't need any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And then it just like throws all this fake blood at you, and it's like, I know I was already having
it. Also, if you're keeping it so real, like where they're like, no, it wasn't violence in every moment. So when he finds the fucking Samuel L. Jackson, and he finds Walton Goggins, and the guy's like, no, I'm not putting this on. And you're like, oh, fuck. Right. Here we go. And like in the reality, this won't always lead to gunfights, only in movies.
Right.
So he's showing this like more of a real moment of this.
Right.
But then match that with just real violence at the end, not this fake.
Yeah. Did you like the movie?
I enjoyed it. I watched it with Meyerowitz, with
Autistic great.
Thunder and his dad. And I enjoyed it, but same thing. It was like, there was some problems in it, but still super interesting.
Yeah. Maybe I just became too PC. I don't know what happened, but I really did not like the amount of times that Kurt Russell hit Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh, I liked it.
I didn't like it.
I mean, those seem so harsh where he punches in the face like, damn.
It's like, okay, you showed it to me once, I get it. He just kept doing it, and I'm like, guys, I don't need this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paulie, what are your thoughts?
Paulie? Bro. I did drive down Hollywood Boulevard, then I made a right when I couldn't turn anymore. This is like at 11:30 last night, and then we're on Sunset. So I passed a Hollywood Athletic Club, and watching all the nines and tens still trying and failing to get into these parties with their gowns, just like giving the please come on like look, and then you see these old white fat man with an old white wife walking away, and it's like he's either producer or that's John Williams or someone like that, and it's just so fun. It's just a great equalizer.
Yeah.
If you are that 9 or 10 that still can't get into an Oscar party, like what is the best case scenario? Who's your hero growing up? And what I mean by that is like, what are the stories of somebody like that getting into one of those parties and nailing an A-lister?
Oh, right.
Like, oh, man, I got into this. Did you hear about Dana down the street?
She went home with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a bad example.
That
but
might
like,
not happen. Yeah. Like Jeremy Renner. Matt Damon. This happened to her. Do you think that ever actually happens?
Yeah, for sure. I saw this girl with a backless gown outside. Backless gowns are hot.
Destroyed.
But if fucking Birdman... I don't know if he's not with anybody. If she's like, oh, it's so funny. She touched his chest. He'd be like, yeah, I just fucking won an Oscar today.
Yeah,
I'm fucking this thing. Oh, that's my right.
Fucking this object.
Yeah. It's like, you've earned it.
I don't know that you've earned that, Ari.
Yeah, you have. Somebody's throwing themselves at you. Like, that's the perk.
The natural light, maybe.
You don't have to pay taxes on that gift bag.
Yeah. Leo was like, I ate nothing but bear liver for a month.
Yeah.
Did he really?
The pussy I'm about to get. He got into character.
Yeah, he did.
He got so much puss.
It was whatever it was.
He gets so much puss.
Yeah,
he does. He could sell it on eBay.
He was already getting it. You imagine the sympathy pussy he would have gotten if he had lost the Oscar.
Oh, yeah. Probably same.
It's Scrooge McDuck numbers either way.
Yeah.
He's swimming in a vault of pussy.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap this thing up.
Yeah.
So I can go to this fucking show.
All right, next year, though. Next year, you got to watch a bunch.
Next year, I'm going to watch them all.
No, 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 no.
I'm going to watch most.
Aim for five.
I'm going to watch most.
All right.
Five is most.
Five is going to be most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, deal.
What do you guys got? You got your Schmoes No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got a lot of cool things.
What is that, on iTunes?
Well, not right now. YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/schmoesno, you can still go to Schmoes No Movies and get us on iTunes. We're coming back. The main show's coming back pretty soon. When's this going? Is this going up?
I think tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, okay, yeah. Probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, the main show's going to be back. So if you subscribe to iTunes, and then we are regulars at Collider now. So if you go to
Collider, the fuck is that?
We're here.
The studio's
amazing.
Yeah. So Collider.com, which was started by Steve Weintraub, he blew it up on a movie news website, and then so he recruited John Campy, who was doing AMC Movie Talk.
I know John Campy. He's a comic of the Comedy Store. He hates that name.
John Campy. Very different.
Well, John came over and brought over Movie Talk over to Collider, and they built up. The channel was at like, I don't know, 18,000 subscribers, and it went from 18,000 to like 205,000 within less than a year. So Mark and I are now the hosts of Movie Talk, which is like, it's Movie Talk for ESPN. Like ESPN for like Movie Talk.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
how many different things do you guys each have? Because you have most of these together, but you have your separate things too.
Yeah, I do. We do Schmoes, which is an all week thing, then Collider, and then I do Fandango.
By the way, here's a little moment because I'm looking at this trivia thing, and I'm thinking about Paulie doing trivia with Paulie movies. I was at Kimmel, and Barris does a warm up. We were fucking around beforehand, and he was asking for best prison stories, and I was like, and I just gave him the plot to Hurricane. And I was like, I was a championship boxer, and you see a couple people like, wait, what? It was like right when it was out too. I was like a young man, you know, took off my K's, and now I'm free, so I'm okay, but my career is over. Anyway, so it was Tarantino trivia with a Tarantino fan, and I think the guy fought him evenly. I think the guy might have beaten Tarantino.
Yeah.
Anyway, during a break. I don't know if I told you this. He's fucking staring at my section of the fucking of the crowd.
Tarantino is?
Yeah. During every break, he just keeps staring. I'm like, is there a monitor behind us that he's looking at? Nothing. And then he calls over Barris, and they fucking point up at me. And then Barris came over afterwards and goes, he wanted to know if that was the Amazing Racist.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. He watches, dude, he's an internet
guy. He watches everything.
He watches everything because I told, like, we
got. I can't believe he's a fan of this show. Dude, that's amazing.
We got a call from Weinstein Company that he watches Schmoes and like he wants to be on the show. We're like, no. Yeah, Corey, we can't wait to have him on.
That's the only thing I want to do in film is I want to do a Tarantino movie.
Yeah.
I don't care how small it is or what. I just want to do. I want to see him work for a while.
Well, look. Yeah. First things first. Let's make sure your scene didn't get cut.
Yeah.
Right.
If it is, it's fine because Blu-ray extras are huge with the kids now. Right.
And so. You and Sam Hamm.
Sam. I said and Hamm. The best is I've just heard those stories so much, having your mom there and stuff, and then it's like, where was your scene? You're like, uh-oh. So I'm just not telling anybody.
I've seen Joey friends.
Yeah, but you know it makes it harder now because if you take your mom to like a big budget movie that you think you might be in, and even if you're not in the movie, the credits will be like, stay around. There might be a post-credits scene. So it's even more heartbreaking when the lights just come up.
Yeah. The best was, I think, Storytelling, that Todd Solondz movie, and the credits. Nowhere in the movie was Freddie Prinze Jr. and then Freddie Prinze Jr. in the credits. I'm like, what the fuck? It was like this 40-minute scene that got cut out.
Oh, really? Wow.
The giant storyline that was like, nah, we're not using it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's so weird because like you can go watch extras on YouTube and stuff from like classic movies and you're like, man, I don't know. It makes sense that it's not in the movie, but how did you determine that at the time?
Yeah.
This seems very crucial. I don't
understand. Editing is so tough.
Yeah. It deserves its own Academy Award.
One time I was watching How I Met Your Mother. And they were at a baseball game, and right behind them was Joey Diaz. Never mentioned, said a word to them. They're all passing popcorn, hot dogs back and forth, and just Joey Diaz behind. And I call him, I was like, did you get cut out of How I Met Your Mother? Because I sure did.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right, well, fuck yeah. Till next year.
Yeah, man.
Heal up.
Thanks.
Be well.
Thanks.
And, you know, try to see a couple movies this summer. And we'll then we'll start to get you in shape. Around September, we'll come up with a schedule.
I'm so glad Mad Max was nominated so I don't get aced out completely.
If you ever want to do a summer movie preview, we should do that, too.
Yeah, let's do that. That's not a bad idea.
And think of your blockbusters. Think of your category that you think you would excel at in movie trivia.
Yep.
Okay.
And then you got to challenge somebody else.
Hey, I do these podcasts now, just part of my podcast, but I call them Spoiler Alert Podcasts.
Yeah.
And we go from watching a movie, and then we just talk about it. Cool. With no mind to, like... Oh, you gave away the ending. It's like, it's if you've seen it or you're never going to see it.
Yeah.
So usually for shitty movies, it's fun, like Zoolander 2. It's like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
But like, we should do one of those maybe.
Yeah, man, spoiler heavy review.
Yeah, and then review all the summer movies.
Yeah.
I'm down.
All right, cool.
All right. Is this where I get
along? For you, I have to risk it all. Cause the writing's on the wall.
Alright, that's it, everybody. Episode over. If you like them, don't forget to check out Christian and Mark, their Schmoes No podcast, and from there you can find tons of other podcasts that they're on. I mean, at this point, they're doing like 10 different podcasts. Or shows. A lot of them are YouTube shows. I think Schmoes No is officially, I guess, a YouTube show, but also now a podcast. They actually give you like normal good reviews for movies. If you're looking for movies, sir, I mean, check them out. They should have me do stoner reviews for them. I mean, like, how was the movie based on being a stoner? Because Ellis doesn't know fuck all about pot. Don't get high to watch Mad Max. What did he say? What was his reasoning? It might be too intense for you, high? You're a fucking fool, bruh. Fucking fool. Yeah, that's the episode. Indianapolis, I'm there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. This is not happening in the Belly Room on Tuesday. in Columbus on Sunday. Next week, I'm in San Diego at the La Jolla Comedy Store, the 11th and 12th, with Brian Moses from the Roast Battle and Hormoz Rashidi from the All Negro Wave. I think that's it. And then I got Irvine, March 24th, and Tempe, March 29th, or 30th or something, April 1st and 2nd, something like that. Go to AriTheGreat.com for tickets. Ladies and gentlemen, for Mark Ellis and Christian Harloff, a.k.a. The Schmoes Know, I'm Ari Shaffir, saying good night for the 2016 Gay Super Bowl, the Oscars, over and out. And by the way, yeah, what'd you expect for the Oscars being all white? It's a white-run organization by white dudes. Yeah, man, that's what's always going to happen. And guess what? If it was all black women who ran it, it would look a lot different. You got a lot of other people complaining. What did you guys think of Chris Rock's monologue? My opinion, I didn't see it. I don't know. I'm not going to watch the fucking Oscars. Are you kidding me? Somebody's like, are you watching? I was like, no, but if I was watching TV, I would have turned it off by now. What a boring fucking program that is. Let's do 4.5 hours to celebrate idiots being fucking morons. Fucking fakers. I hate actors. They're all fucking nothing. Even when they have seem to have taste, you see them out like, I'm into art. No, you're not. You've co-opted the thing. You've heard your cool artistic friends tell you they love art. So you say, what should I know? You don't know shit about art. All these fucking faux hipsters trying to blend in with your goddamn white jeans. I have one guy in mind, too, that dude from Heroes, Siler. He's at all the art shows around L.A. It's like, dude, get the fuck out of here. You ain't some artist who's trying to do fucking acting. You're an actor who's trying to seem cool. You're an empty garbage person. All of them. All of them. Not just that guy. All of them. What about this one? Yeah, him, too. What you like about them is the fucking role they played. Al Pacino stinks. I mean, literally, he doesn't shower. And you look up to him. He literally doesn't shout. When you walk past him, his fucking body odor reeks. And everyone's like, oh, he's amazing. He's garbage. Like all of them. They do one good thing good, and that's it. But anyway, I'm in a great mood. Don't forget to watch This Is Not Happening every Tuesday night at 12:30. Tell like 10 friends, everybody. Got the show really going. Guess who's on this week? Ari Shaffir. I'm on, Jim Brewer's on, Kurt Metzger's on. One of the best episodes of the year. I'm not lying to you. One of the best episodes of the year. All crime stories. Yeah, tell a bunch of people. All right, you guys, that's it. Thank you for tuning in. I'm going to release another one this week to promote the show. And then next week or the week after, the great Duncan Trussell is going to be on. I haven't picked a topic yet, but we'll have them on for something. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a good night. Hasta la vista.